I guess so. What episode number are we?
14.
I said,
I know, I saw it. It's the 340th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio.
This is Nabel.
This is Chris.
This is Arnold.
Hey! What's up, Arnie? Wow. Arnie is... Yeah. So, Arnold's back. That's cool. We're talking wrestling, SummerSlam, G1, NXT TakeOver. Got a lot of stuff to cover today, guys. So if you are joining us live, thank you so much. You can log into your YouTube account.
Trying to suck it up.
That way you can chat along with us in the live chat. I'll try to see it here on my handy-dandy smartphone or over there on the actual laptop, and we'll try to involve you as best as we can in the show. So feel free to say hi, fact-check us, talk shit, ask questions, whatever. If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio, or just drop a comment right down below. Chris, you have a mouthful of popsicle, don't you?
Headline.
No, he doesn't have a mouthful. I'm about to have a mouthful of popsicle. Ah.
Poor Jay Briscoe.
Oh, poor Jay Briscoe.
Didn't he win the 24/7 title a couple weeks ago? Was that his dad?
Maybe. Tell the youngins that are watching at home or listening on the podcast about Ladder War 8 between the Briscoes and the Gorillas of Destiny.
I have a mouthful of popsicle. So why don't you tell them about
I got a mouthful too. Arnold, you tell them about
I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Ring of Honor Summer Supercard for the 40 people in attendance that saw it live.
40.
The main event was Ladder War number 8 for the Ring of Honor tag team titles from New Japan, the champions, Gorillas of Destiny, GOP, against the challengers, the Briscoes, Mark and Jay Briscoe.
Oh, not related to Gerald Briscoe.
No, unrelated.
God damn.
Son of a bitch. That was a brutal ass match.
Mm-hmm.
Explain. But
it was right from the jump, right from the get-go, chairs a-swinging. So imagine a TLC match.
Imagine lightsabers, but with chairs.
Yeah, and imagine them not waiting to build up. Oh. Just come out swinging. They have tables involved, table spots. And
is ROH like WWE chair shots or old school WWE chair shots?
Old school chair shots. They were getting brutal.
From the beginning, bro. So, Tama Tonga is hiding at the corner from the entrance. Because there's a ladder, so it's kind of blocking the view, and he's got a ladder ready to go.
A chair ready to go,
and Jay Briscoe's about to walk the ladder. He's like, I can feel some motherfucker waiting for me. So as soon as he went under the ladder, they were right there. Cling!
Whap!
Oh man.
So, Arnold.
But that's not why we watched the match.
Right. We watched the match because we saw on News with the Z that Jay Briscoe got himself cut pretty bad as a result of this match. And it was very reminiscent of the cut that Bob Holly had right across the back.
On the back.
Yeah, right across the back. It was going horizontally. Mm-hmm. Jay Briscoe's was vertically. Whereas Bob Holly's was probably maybe a foot, foot and a half long. Jay's was like maybe like three feet long.
How?
Basically from here down to the ass.
How? He did a Jay driller on Tonga Loa. From the apron out to the table, but they kept that elastic band that's around the table.
Plastic.
That's the same thing that cut Holly.
And
the elastic band, since Jay landed flat on his back and the table was like this,
like from
Samurai Way.
From like between the shoulder blades down to like the top of his ass.
Oof.
Ooh, it was it was nasty.
And then what
was funny was that wasn't the first instance of color that Jay had in the match. Jay was already busted open from the head. Mm-hmm. So, Arnold.
And then Mark.
Arnold, I know that you are not a fan of hardcore blood and guts stuff.
I am not.
Yeah.
I am not.
And I used to been, you know, back in my wilder days, you know, back in the 90s.
I fucked with DCW heavy.
Yeah.
But ever since then...
Ever since CZW,
all those death matches, they're just not for me.
And even back then, there was a certain limit to it, right?
Oh, yeah.
This particular match, you know, watching it with my 2019 eyes, I felt like it was a little boring in the sense that they just went straight for the blood and guts out of nowhere. And it's like, okay, we're gonna start doing this, and that's it. Now, the accident was that an accident. It was a preventable accident, because what happened after Bob Holly got cut? They started taking off that fucking plastic around the thing. So WWE doesn't have that little plastic on there, neither does NXT or whatever. When they gimmick the tables, they don't just pre-cut it. They also take the fucking plastic off of the side, because that could lacerate you real bad. And you would think ROH would have followed suit in that, but no, they didn't. So maybe this is
the wake up call.
10 years later, like, how long ago was it Bob Holly had that fucking injury? Like
12 or 13.
Yeah, like, so, but okay. So that right there, it was preventable, but still an accident. Shit happens in the ring. Okay, fine.
And then
Jay kept going. He crawled up into the ring. I would assume refused medical attention, because that's a better thing to assume than to assume that ROH just didn't give any fucks.
Especially if they're already booked. Spoiler alert. They won the match. They were booked to win the match. So Jay needed to stay in the fucking thing.
So Jay got into the ring, and I think it was Tama Tonga. I think it was Tonga Lau or Low, whatever.
Tonga Loa.
And apparently the next spot was supposed to be a powerbomb, and I guess Tonga Loa didn't know how fucked up he was. So, like, he rolled in on his back, then Tonga went to go pick him up and then turn him around to do a powerbomb, and he was like, oh,
fuck.
Well, I guess I'm going to do a powerbomb. And then I did a powerbomb. Like,
on the ladder. Shit. On the metal ladder. Onto another
ladder. Oh. After he was already split wide open. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, baby, what is you doing? Oh, my God. No, baby. Like, you need to be tended to medically.
In front of 200 people live, and in front of what?
40 people.
4,000 people online.
Oh, okay. Something like that.
That paid?
And then there was another spot where they got – see, the ladders were involved at this point, but they weren't involved as
prominently.
And as things that were – they were climbing up. They were used as weapons, laying down. People were getting slammed on them, but nobody has done the high spot yet from the ladder. Well, apparently Mark decided that he was going to climb up the ladder, which is still in the apron. So that or still on the ramp. I'm sorry. So it wasn't anywhere near – for him to go and grab the fucking belt in the middle of the ring. It was outside the ring, right? Which reminded me an awful lot of WrestleMania X7, where Jeff Hardy climbs up the ladder and he does a spot onto Bubba, who's on the table. And why did Jeff do it? Oh my God, Jeff is a crazy death-defying guy. He would rather do a big spot and do something amazing to wow everybody than to try to win the match. To
decapitate one person.
Right.
Save the rest.
And when I saw this happen, I asked you a question, and I was like, what's the point of the Briscoes doing this in 2019 at a fading ROH? Because what are they trying to prove? The Briscoes 15 years ago were, okay, up-and-comers. No, even longer than that, dude.
Yeah, they've been around
that long. Yeah, because
– and they never made it to the WWE?
Well, they were in NXT for a while, but that's it. But it's like, what the fuck are they trying to prove? Because they're over as you're going to get as being the top guys in ROH. Yeah. They're over. But they're also old now, and they're past their prime. I'm not saying that they need to retire.
Old, I think they're stale.
They're stale. They're past their prime. Yeah. Okay? So they're not something I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to see the Briscoes. It's like, oh, okay, the Briscoes are cool. They're respected. What the fuck are they trying to prove right now with this? I mean, because – that one spot isn't going to make everybody go, oh, my God, I got to watch ROH. Oh. That one spot isn't
That's what I was going to say. It was a point. Because right now, okay, you got WWE is the big fish. AEW is up and coming. Impact's getting wind. Fuck, people are watching AAA more than they were before.
NWA's coming.
NWA. So ROH is probably like, we got to do something to be fucking talked about.
Right.
So maybe that.
I mean, I still feel like that's misguided. Just doing big-ass crazy spots just for the sake of a big-ass crazy spot just so you can get a little bit more attention is, one, cheap. And two, ineffective.
Yeah.
And three, dangerous.
And dangerous, too. Especially at this point in their careers where they're waning. I mean, nobody is going to look at the Briscoes now and go, oh, my God, I've changed my opinion of the Briscoes.
Yeah.
Now, in a favorable manner, anyway. So, man, I don't know, man. I didn't really dig it. I didn't dig it at all.
there wasn't much sizzle to that for me either. There wasn't anything there that I hadn't already seen before. You know?
I think you repeated a word, and I echoed it when we were watching it and when it was close to being over. And you said, gross. Yeah. It was just gross. It was gross.
Yeah.
I get it. Ladder Wars was really cool when we had Steam versus Generico, and that got bloody. And I'm not, like, against the blood. I'm just against the...
That was
the needlessness of the spot.
Steam Generico was at the height of a feud that had been building for almost a year that needed a blow off. At the point of the Briscoe's career, I don't see why they needed to do it. Right now, the popularity that the Bullet Club has in New Japan, I don't see why the Gorillas of Destiny are even wasting their time in Ring of Honor.
True. Well, good point.
So Bullet Club is like hot shit again over there, because I saw what happened with Bullet with Kenta.
Let's transition into that.
Yeah, transition.
Yeah.
Kenta is now a part of the Bullet Club.
Go to sleep.
My eyes are. I'm gonna break out that Bullet Club shirt again.
For real.
That's what it took. Because for a while,
$10 is a hot topic right now. That's how low it went.
Because you are not in the minority, my man. A lot of people do not like Jay White.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like starting to tank the popularity of the Bullet Club because they have a heel so good that they really don't fucking like you. Which I'm hoping Baron Corbin gets there, because I think WWE needs a guy like
that's
that.
That's the equivalent. I've been saying that for a while. I think that's the equivalent.
Yeah.
You got heat for the wrong reason.
Which is, it's okay to have a guy that has that much heat.
A casual viewer watching somebody that gets hated that much that people leave after you win the finals of your block.
Yeah.
That's a motherfucker that people are going to remember.
Because you could fucking use that.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
You could definitely use somebody with that much heat to get over somebody that you want to have a lot of a face reaction, right? So it's wrestling 101, okay? Mm-hmm. But to have somebody with that much heat in an organization that has been your cash cow, where you want to sell fucking, you know,
where you're still t-shirts. Selling merch after you've gone through three different leaders.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. You want to maybe back off a little bit on that. But Kenta joining the Bullet Club.
That's fresh.
It was fresh. It was, I like it. I said this last week. I really like the heel work that Kenta is doing as like this outsider, even though he's back in his home country, because he was Pro Wrestling Noah. He wasn't New Japan. He's disrespecting New Japan. So he's a heel, and he's getting heel heat. And, like, what better way to get heel heat against WCW than to join the NWO?
Yes.
You know?
And it's weird watching the matches now, because we watched the Kenta match before the turn. We saw Kenta versus Ospreay. Mm-hmm. And it's been more than one
occasion. On paper, that sounds amazing.
During this entire tournament, the matches that I've seen, whether it's live or on the network, he's using that. He's using the fact that he's an outsider as motivation for him to win.
He's got a chip on his shoulder.
But you've got guys like Okada showing their hand of respect. Ospreay bowing to him because one of Ospreay's first wrestling matches that he ever saw was Kenta in 2003. So
because he's a fucking youngin',
yeah,
little boy.
Yeah, because he's still a little boy. Yeah. My first match I remember watching was Ricky the Dragon Steve Austin stunning Steve Austin. When I was on Saturday morning fucking wrestling.
Yeah. Piper Hart, who is you?
My first one? Holy fuck.
Do you remember? Yeah.
Do I remember? As a Jehovah's Witness, I wasn't supposed to watch wrestling. So it was like probably, Undertaker Mankind on Raw, like 95?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I saw the first episode of Raw, but the first match that stands out, and then I went back and watched older stuff.
Yeah,
okay. Sometimes you don't remember your first.
WCW Worldwide on Saturday mornings. That was my first
mornings, not WCW Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah.
But Kenta is getting up there with Jay because he did something that's not that you do not fuck with the sacrilege.
Yeah.
And
that's going to get him heat in Japan.
Yes.
But us. We're gonna eat that up with a silver spoon.
Just like Finn, just like AJ, just like Kenny Omega. All those guys were heels. But they were doing their stuff that we thought it was so fucking cool and amazing because it was fresh. And everybody did. Finn had his version because he painted himself like a comic book character every big fight. Mm-hmm. AJ had his cool version because he was like the epitome of the cool NWO in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then Kenny Omega did it differently because he's a gamer that he's like the final boss, but eventually he becomes the final boss that when he's an unlockable character, you play him because you want that power.
Yeah.
And now maybe we can build up a rivalry between Kenta and Jay of who can out-dick each other. Kenta doing Kenta doing Shibata's pose on top of Shibata's chest. People shat on that. People were booing the fuck out of that.
Awesome.
But that's the story, dude. Yeah. New Japan is all about the story. Even if it's in a language you can't understand, just watch it and you will understand it.
Yeah.
Dude, and the whole story with Shibata, dude. This is a guy that...
Which, let's not blow past Shibata.
I'm about to get to that. Yeah. This guy, almost 2 years ago or 3 years ago, headbutted Kazuchika Okada so hard that his brain started bleeding.
Yes.
His skull caved in.
Yes.
Literally caved in.
Yes.
He was never supposed to wrestle again. Until he started beating the shit out of Kenta, and the Japanese crowd went bananas.
Which the Japanese crowd?
What's the Japanese equivalent of bananas? Sushi. They went fucking sushi.
Mangoes.
For Shibata, actually in the ring, taking off his shirt.
They went pandas.
He's still in shape. He's teaching in the LA dojo, so he's there's no rust on the guy.
Yeah.
You know, you got two nights at Wrestle Kingdom. Co-main event the first night with Kenta versus a returning Shibata, even if it's a one-time only, that's yen.
Yeah, that's yen.
That's a whole lot of yen and hopefully some dollars.
So,
but we just talked about why Jay Briscoe should be doing the shit that he's doing. Would you bring Shibata back for one more match after what he went through?
Man, because I'm gonna
come around to this with another guy.
Oh yeah.
Like, okay, it depends. It depends.
Are on we talking the injury was to me.
Yeah. I mean, we know what the injury was, right? Yeah. He cracked open his skull and you know he had a little bit of damage on his
skull. Skull heal, don't they?
Right, right. He had a brain hemorrhage.
That's a tape on it. Yo, senpai.
But I mean, are we talking about he's going to be doing the same shit Jay Briscoe's doing hardcore matches, doing this and that, or is he going to be doing you know regular one on one with the rules all apply matches and you know
toned down moveset like Daniel Bryan, no more flying headbutts, no more crazy shit.
Yeah, I mean, like he could still do his you know Japanese puro wrestling strong style shit, but like just okay, pull it back, don't potato him.
Yeah,
you know he might be all right.
Yeah,
but again, I'm not a doctor.
But I'm just a small time pizza lawyer.
I don't want to see the shit that was just gross like we saw with Jay Briscoe and Mark Briscoe.
Yeah.
Arnold, do you have any opinions about
Kenta? No. I love Shibata. I don't want him to wrestle again. Like I mean just
for Shibata.
Just for this because of what I saw and I just because of what I've read, I'm just like, dude, you had a nice career, maybe. You know, people know who you are. So just let it go, or like now you beat your brain or beat whatever. But again, I know you have the itch. Like Daniel Bryan had the itch; he came back and scratched it
a lot.
Yeah, he scratched
it. He's still scratching.
Yeah. So, but I mean, in the same vein, I say that, and then here I am getting excited today when Edge gets medically cleared to wrestle again. Mm. When I was like, "Don't wrestle; you can die." So
you're just full of the transitions today.
Shibata reminds me of Daniel Bryan in the sense of I would be okay with Shibata coming back as long as we get the peace of mind that we got with Bryan.
Medically before
Bryan cut the promo, hyperbaric chambers. I went to six different doctors. They cleared me. WWE didn't want to clear me because they don't want me to be another Benoit or another Silver King or somebody that just dies in the ring.
Yeah.
So they were looking out for me, number one, but eventually they approved me to come.
Now,
so something in English, I'm not there yet, something in English that shows me or a documentary series on their website showing me Shibata getting cleared by these doctors,
slowly.
Shibata meditating. They had the documentary when he decided to start the LA Dojo, which was actually a pretty interesting watch. It's like 30 minutes overall for the 4 or 5 clips. So just something to show that he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So that it'll ease me.
Daniel Price in the live chat. Welcome. What Thank up? You. He right. says, he says this, Shibata will be fine as long as he doesn't headbutt anyone. And I know he's probably saying that a little tongue in cheek.
And Panda's a Chinese.
Yes.
But I kind of agree with him here, because the difference between Daniel Bryan and Edge's thing is that we've seen this shit over and over and over. This is an injury that's a nagging injury that's happened to so many wrestlers recently.
And could have. She had neck surgery yesterday.
Exactly. Kurt Angle, Steve Austin.
Exactly. This is something that has a fucking history. The neck right up here, lower parts, it gets injured once that happens.
Ask you can Becky. Be
paralyzed. Don't mm-hmm. keep going for it, okay? Mm-hmm. But the injury for Shibata is a little different, because when have you ever seen anyone else have their fucking forehead dented in from headbutting a motherfucker so hard in the ring? I don't think that's going to happen again. The likelihood of Edge, Paige, Daniel Bryan re-injuring themselves, doing what got them injured in the first place, is more common than Shibata going that again. He probably learned his lesson. He's probably not going to do that again. A
bunch of fucking kids learned the lesson too.
Yeah. So I don't think that he's going to
just one bad bump.
One bad bump. But seriously, when have you ever seen one bad bump result in a dented forehead? That's what I'm
But the history of the injury to where that will come back eventually.
See, what I'm saying is one bad bump is one bad bump. Versus stuff that you do shit on the fucking daily.
Yeah.
Shit that you do on the fucking daily could hurt as a wrestler, can hurt your neck in that same spot. And it's happened to countless wrestlers. Shit that you do on the daily doesn't necessarily dent your forehead.
Yeah. My thing is, fuck the skull, the brain. That's what I'm most concerned of. Chris Benoit killed his family because his brain was mush.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People do a lot of dumb shit because their brains are mush.
True.
That's why I'm like, hey, man, if I was you, whatever. But
I'm not you. So you do what you do.
We say all this, not as doctors.
Not as doctors, as fans of wrestling. You know,
and so I'm going to say this. I'm hesitant but optimistic about Shibata coming back.
I'm just glad that Kent is doing good things, man. He basically, was in
his talk went.
Yeah, he was in purgatory for 5 years. You know what I mean? I mean, and honestly, with that, I don't even really blame the WWE too much. It was his own fault. Mm-hmm. He kept getting injured.
Just like Steve Austin got injured, and now New Japan's making the best of it. They got him in Bullet Club.
It was his own fucking demise, you know? But fuck it.
Shit happens. We talked about Briscoe. We just talked about Katsuyori Shibata, Edge, spearing Elias during SummerSlam's pre-show.
Nobody saw it. Nobody. I didn't see it.
I saw it.
I wish I would have seen it, because this came out as Buzz Lightyear and I didn't fucking see that. I was like, oh, it's fine.
I actually did see it. I did.
Yeah.
I did watch
it. Oh, I saw it about 50 times the next day.
You porn?
Yes.
We bring an Edge back?
Nope.
I don't know.
How many zeros in that Saudi blood moon to get Edge for a match?
Edge and Christian versus the Hardy Boys? Please.
Okay.
Drunk ass Jeff Hardy again?
The same way how I'm okay currently with Daniel Bryan wrestling, I think I would be okay with Edge wrestling again, provided all the same shit you just said, that we have some sort of assurance that he's safe to actually do this. The reason why is because there's precedence. The precedence is goddamn Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan did everything he had to do to rehabilitate, to get to that point, this and that, blah, 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 blah. So if Edge could do it, cool. I'm okay
and
with
he's
it.
He's had a whole lot longer time.
At the same time, we've seen Paige and we've seen Nikki Bella try to do it, and they ain't done it.
Got worse.
So
Got worse.
I mean, now if
angles got worse,
if it's the same doctor that said Brian, you're okay, Paige, you're not, and that's that same doctor that's saying
it's the same Edge, doctor that kept giving CM Punk Z-Pegs.
That's another thing too. If that's the same doctor, but if we're talking like this doctor's opinion of Paige is no, you cannot do it.
Yeah.
But you know what? You're okay, Edge. You're okay, Daniel Bryan. Then all right, I might.
Apparently, he's been working the fuck out a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks good.
He hasn't
wrestled for what, 8 years?
Yeah.
He's lifting weights again, the same pounds that he used to lift before he retired, like 2004 or 2005. So he's like in the best shape right now that he's ever been.
Ever?
I'm game with it, man. Because when I was younger, I loved Edge. When I stopped watching wrestling, I didn't really – I missed Edge's big, like, boom. So when I got back in, honestly, the year I got back into wrestling, which is when I met Abel, was the year he retired. So I was always – I would always tell him, he's like, oh, Edge's. I'm like, really? I didn't think Edge was that good. I thought he was okay. But he was like, no, you missed all of this. And I'm just like, okay. So throughout the years, I've slowly been watching his matches. Oh, and yeah. I was like, oh, man. I would have been a huge Edge fan there.
Oh, during Edge, Cena, yeah. Edge, Batista.
Yeah, dude.
Edge, that, all that Cena rap versus Edge Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, God, you would have ate that up.
In general, like all of his feuds, even his last one with Alberto, like everything, I was just like, man, that's cool. Like, I wish I would have been into wrestling during that time, because I would have had my guy, you know what I mean? But still, whatever. He's a shit. I love listening to his podcast. And
everybody's got a fucking podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Edge and Christian's show was pretty good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Thumbs up or thumbs down? The return, King of the Ring.
Bing. Thumbs up.
In 2019, it could work.
As long as the semifinals and the finals are on the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Don't just give me the finals on the pay-per-view. Yeah. Go old school. Old King of the Ring, semifinals, and the finals. Yeah, three King of the Ring matches. Two semis and one finals. Yeah. That's how Steve became.
Austin had to go to the hospital and come back.
Steve beat Mero. Yeah. Steve beat Jake Roberts.
So you're saying you don't want this shit on Raw?
I want the opening matches on Raw, just like back in the day. But the finals, semis and the finals go on the pay-per-view.
Well, I hate to break the news to you, but it ain't going to happen. They already said that the entire 16-man tournament is going to be on Raw.
Yeah.
Not even SmackDown?
And SmackDown. It's 8 and 8.
Really? I thought it was going to all be
on Raw. No, it's 8 and 8. I saw the list of people on
it. Well, what I do know is they're not actually making a pay-per-view.
The list of participants.
Yeah,
Night of
Champions.
The list, I don't know if you have it, but the list of participants, that made me happy.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of mid-carders.
Joe?
Is Xavier on it? He's not, after all, right?
Xavier Woods? No.
I haven't memorized the
Cedric
list.
Cedric Alexander's. Ali's in it. Okay. Buddy Murphy's in it.
But if they're going to put NXT on FS1, if NXT is the third brand, I kind of am a little bit disappointed that there isn't more more everybody.
Oh, yeah.
That
World
Collide put only Lorcan from 205 in there. Dude, as a representative of UK, put Pete Dunne in there.
All
right. You know, NXT, have Velveteen. Velveteen King has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, Velveteen is in that commercial for the new WWE video game.
Yeah, he's
the only one from NXT that's in there.
Raw and SmackDown specific, it feels like, I wish they had a little more flavor in there.
Yeah.
A little more youngins. Fucking throw Johnny Gargano in there at least.
Yeah.
You know?
He deserves something after this weekend.
Daniel Price says in the live chat, get ready for King Corbin.
What I was going to say is the best winners of the King of the Rings were always heels. You have to have a heel winner.
So I'll say he mentioned it. So I'm transition to it. If it's not Joe, if it's not Buddy Murphy, if it's not Eric Rowan, if it's not Daniel Bryan, who's the one that's trying to kill Roman Reigns? If you want somebody in WWE to get the Jay White heat, that will put Corbin over the top.
Yeah, definitely Corbin. I got to say this. I got to say this just because I have to. It's Rikishi.
He did it for The Rock.
Corbin makes a lot of sense.
Corbin doesn't make a lot of sense. How about
he could be easily confused because he's bald for Rowan.
Yeah. How about something a little bit more off the wall?
Nikki Bella.
But it could happen. Since you dropped the fucking ball with this other fantasy booking I had, it could have been, hey, nobody's knocking at my fucking door, so I got to go run a motherfucker over so I can get some attention.
Again, back to the King of the Ring. Why is Aleister not in this tournament? There's plenty of competition for somebody that's too chicken shit to knock on his mofo's door.
Yeah.
You know, that's another drop ball. So,
Sheamus! Return.
Sheamus is out with the neck thing, just like everybody else. I thought he was clear to come back. He's done. Well, the last time I heard, he's done. I don't know.
Last I heard, he was clear.
He went and sat in a hyperbaric chamber. Yeah. I don't know.
He blended in with the paint. Hector in the chat earlier today suggested Luke Harper.
Oh, that's what I was going to say at first.
And I told him, Luke Harper, in the same brand with Eric Rowan is just you've tried that twice.
It didn't work the second time.
The Bludgeon Brothers. How long are they? Where are they right now?
He broke his elbow. And then what happened? They didn't fucking wait for him. Yeah, exactly. That's for his release. Exactly. He got medical care. The WWE said, we got nothing for you. Go job to Brennan's ex partner, no.
Dijakovic.
job to him at WrestleMania.
I would give Luke Harper a new change of scenery. Yeah. Tell me that you don't want to see Luke Harper against Keith Lee.
Luke Harper
against Damian Priest.
Yeah.
How about you send him over the pond and give me Luke Harper against Alexander Wolf?
Yeah.
But
you know what really happened there, right? After his release, they said no.
And they're extending his contract for that time that he's gone. Yeah. So if it was expiring in 2 months, nope, 2 months plus the 9 that you're missing.
I think it's next year.
So it's next year.
So you think they're actually going to use him and push him to the moon? Or do you think they're just going to fucking let him be enhanced talent?
Because the Revival, Sasha, both air their grievances without officially airing the grievances. That's why they're both back. And they're both, one of them was champions already, you know?
Yeah, and one's got a title match coming.
Yeah, this dude just said, "Hey, I'm requesting," because Sean Spears said I did it, and they said, "Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're good." This guy said, "Oh, he did it. Oh, I'm gonna do it," and they said, "No, you're not good."
Yeah,
back of the line. So
chronological order, guys.
All right,
we already talked about Ring of Honor. That's all we saw from.
He's still Punishment Martinez to me. Damn it!
Hey, look at that right here. Oh, this way.
Yeah. New Japan, 19 nights. 90 matches. Damn. In the tournament.
90?
Just give me the cliff notes. Give me the cliff notes.
About 70 or something.
A lot of fucking matches.
Kota Ibushi beat Kazuchika Okada. Ibushi was down by 2 points. He beat Okada to tie him. Since he beat Okada, that was the tiebreaker. So he won block A. Jay White beat Tetsuya Naito. He won block B. By the time he started beating up on Kota Ibushi post-match, about 20% of that arena was empty because they really don't fucking like Jay White.
Yeah.
That's the kind of heat the mofo's getting. Yeah. And in the finals, Ibushi beat Jay White. Ibushi guaranteed, as of now, unless he starts defending it.
Main event,
the second night of WrestleMania.
Can we pause just for a second? Go. I want to commend the genuineness of the Japanese wrestling audience and fans. Because we will sit here and boo bitch John Cena for bitch 10 years.
Bitch, but we'll sit our ass there. But we'll
sit right there.
You know how much these seats were, motherfucker? Yeah.
But these motherfuckers are like, we don't like this guy. Let's go. Like, we tried to do that with Roman a few times.
Did him out.
You know what they say? And we kind of emptied the arena.
You know what they say? Dishonor.
Seppuku.
But no, you know what? So shout out to the fucking Japanese wrestling fans.
The most respected, the most proper fucking fans there was.
But they're the most
I'll bang it until I die. I had that Japanese guy crying next to me.
Oh, shut up with that already. Nakamura
turned heel. But he sat there.
You haven't been here in 2 minutes. You haven't been here in 2 months and he's already old.
Until he's back in Japan as a heel.
I'm calling it right now. Ibushi's losing.
Ibushi will
there for life. Yeah. He has a lifetime contract. Yeah. Don't bust that nut right now. Okada needs to get that tie. And then we get a rubber match at Dominion, which is that sleeper pay-per-view where shit always goes down.
Yeah.
Shit goes
That's
down.
That's a perfect description of that pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Shit always goes down at Dominion.
You type in Dominion in Japan on Google Translate in English, shit goes down.
Daniel Price says, Ibushi wants both belts, Wrestle Kingdom.
Naito wants both belts.
He said he fight Okada one night and then Naito the next. So I don't know. He's kind of disagreeing with you, but yeah, that's a good point, don't you think? But Jay White. That motherfucker Jay White's gonna get. Oh man, dude, he's gonna reign supreme.
And I'll give a tip to the cap to the New Japan booking.
Is Jay White the leader of Bullet Club right now?
For now.
So,
but if Jay we White get a little rivalry with Kenta and Jay,
maybe
it'll be interesting.
But see, just now, like Kenny now, and Cody, Tama Tonga was the one who said that he hired a new hand for the Bullet Club. So is Tama Tonga really the one pulling the fucking strings?
Mm-hmm.
Is it NFL general manager by committee right now over in the Bullet Club? Like, what the hell?
Well, we had Ibushi versus Jay White in the finals. The entire Bullet Club with Kenta.
That was a Houston Texans reference right there. You missed it.
I was looking at something. I accidentally tuned you guys out.
He asked for us to record this podcast so he can come.
Yeah,
and on the phone most of the time.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the G1.
Get off of you porn.
All right. So Jay White, when he came out for his final match, everybody was supporting him.
Okay.
So he be the man as of now. Damn. First thing that comes to your mind, Quiet Boy, during NXT TakeOver.
Mark.
Lasting impression. First match comes to mind.
Ooh.
Match of the night. Give me.
Match of the night has to be the fucking main event. Dude, that was fucking one word. Masterpiece. God damn, that match was a fucking masterpiece. From the first fucking, from the first match, right? The classic wrestling match. It was a badass classic wrestling match. To the end of that match by Johnny saying, you know what? Fuck it. No! I'll take the L for this one, but I'm going to get the dub for the other one. Yeah. I'll beat the shit out of Adam Cole.
Yeah.
And oh my God, that last match was, when I saw the cage and I said, first thing I thought of was that fucking really terrible Dean Ambrose versus Jericho match with the fucking
Ambrose Asylum.
I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. Nope. It was amazing. It wasn't too spotty. It wasn't too gory. It wasn't too ill. It was just fucking perfect. I love that you couldn't escape the cage. I love the barbed wire on the cage. But then, oh, man. The moveset was brilliant. The fucking Canadian Destroyer, but they called it the fucking Panama Sunrise. Multiple of them. Oh, God. It was so good. The super kicks. I was watching Shawn Michaels take on Shawn Michaels for three matches in a row.
WrestleMania, the arcade game.
Yes. Yes. With the red pants and the blue pants. Oh, God. It was so fucking good.
When Three Stages of Hell was over, which I don't know if people got that reference, what did you think of that main event match?
I loved it. It was everything that I thought it was going to be. I had it as a 10 when we were previewing it last week, right?
Yeah.
I definitely was looking forward to the match, and I think it met my expectations.
I mean, the complete minority of the buildup. Well, not the buildup, of the hype going into, because we had already seen a 2 out of 3 falls match with them. We had already seen a match. This is the third match. So I was like, yeah, I was kind of burned out on them. That's why I was kind of like, yeah, I'm going to watch it because I know it's going to be good, but, you know, fuck no, man. I was like, yeah, oh, yeah.
Randy and the Bondage. Oh, shit. I'm not the only one going to see S&M, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. Hey, babe. Okay, so Randy says this. I'm irked that everything was zip-tied super tight to the cage, so weapons couldn't be easily used. She wants easier access for her
toys. No, she wants fuzzy handcuffs everywhere.
Always clear before you buy it. Just always clear before you buy it with your partner.
Oh,
anyway,
I think you meant like get a receipt.
No,
like you know, they open it.
Don't
you
surprise
there.
Your partner with fucking bondage things.
Yeah,
it met my.
They might not be into it.
It met my. They'll learn. They met.
Randy said fuzzy handcuffs break too easily.
Either you aren't telling me something, or she is not telling you something.
She ain't telling me something, apparently. Hi, Papa.
It met my expectations of a 10,
yes.
But there are a few nits to pick for me.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see. Where do I begin?
The wrong kid, Dad.
The one thing I can't stand are finishes that don't make sense to me, and I don't see how Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano designed a cannonball by them together.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I would have wanted something
one
definitive.
Of them
pull
the other one under,
like at least like Gargano punch Cole and Cole grab Gargano by his Wolverine suit,
yeah.
And then they something more believable than just.
Let's go! Yeah,
I didn't like that.
I
love the execution as far as it looked badass when it happened. But yeah,
what was the move? What was happening? We're gonna hug and jump.
Yeah,
much
like the famed drop of Shane McMahon on the SummerSlam thing when Steve Blackman hit him and Shane falls like 30 seconds later. Boom! There we go. Yeah.
God damn it, Daniel Rice.
What did he say? The new Daniel Bryan.
If you present a woman with a ball gag, a paddle, a Hitachi, and she ain't interested,
a Hitachi?
It wasn't meant to be.
Hey, dude, that list is too long,
you
man.
You gotta have pretense.
Pretense? Oh, hell no. Hell no. You know why I'm still single? I show up on these blind dates with a car battery and jumper cables.
Who shows up wearing a condom?
Nope.
Are you wearing a condom? I guess I'll share the fuck
too,
out.
I guess I went too far too fast.
I'm married, by the way. It's fine.
Oh, Lord. Oh,
which man. They don't even respect the fact that I bought a fucking Duralast.
Right?
At least we gonna go.
Yeah, the gold.
The AutoZone. With the lifetime warranty.
Randy says the Hitachi is pretense.
Oh, my God.
Man,
damn it.
The other problem is, and it might be from the entire pay-per-view, but there's no explanation why five matches on a pay-per-view leads to a three-hour pay-per-view. That right? Main event was long.
It was, long.
It was,
so
it was
long.
53 minutes yeah. long.
That's yeah. a bad thing?
No, no, no.
That's when not it's a bad thing at all. I thought the match was an appropriate length for
I did think the match was a little too long.
When it's the third match in a rivalry and the first match was already a 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah. No, and then, my only problem is it was too long, but that's fine. That's fighting
for,
something.
For a 3 stages of hell match. I didn't like that the first match ended in a disqualification. The whole point of a wrestling match is that somebody needs to win.
I love that he left the door open for the next. It was a seamless transition into
but
the second
one. That's something a heel would do, though.
Bro,
that's what Lesnar did to get two pins on Angle. Okay,
for the last about 10 months, Johnny Gargano hasn't been a face. People just like
bullshit.
Him.
He's
people just
between.
Like
oh,
him.
He's
people
been in
like,
between.
He dresses Wolverine. I'm not going to fucking boo him. I'm a big Wolverine mark.
Yeah, and he's dead now.
Yes. That's the other thing. I'm not a.
Do you have any nits to pick about this match? Because you were pretty grateful when I said I've got nits to pick. Do you have any nits to pick on this match?
I was grateful because I know that I don't want to make it anything more than. You know, match of the night. I know I don't want to make it, but I don't have justification as to why. And I don't really know what it is, and I can't put my finger on it, but like something I felt satisfied, but I didn't feel like this is the best ever.
Yeah. It met your expectation of a 10,
maybe
but
it
didn't exceed
it.
Yeah.
Maybe
you weren't surprised. You weren't overwhelmed. You were just overwhelmed.
I was thoroughly whelmed. One thing that you guys didn't mention that I would like to mention that's actually complimentary about this match is at the top of the cage in one of the far corners.
The platform.
It had the platform.
Like that.
Yeah. And I liked it a lot too, especially when Gargano went up the ladder and then looked over and realized, oh shit, this is a platform. I thought it was just something else up top. And it wasn't until he actually meek rat up there and saw it. It's like, oh, light dawns on him. And then started using that. Yeah. I really like that spot.
Well, coming out of this match, what's your stock? Did it climb or not for either one of the competitors?
I got teased at the house show with the main event of Adam Cole versus Keith Lee, and now I want it. Because Gargano's got 3 chances already, and he's done.
Oh!
So, no.
No, I have a nit to pick.
Go.
Always a bridesmaid, never the bride. Johnny Gargano.
Johnny Gargano.
I don't think that I had.
But he's already had the belt, though.
I don't think I had that strong of a feeling this time than I have in previous times with Gargano.
Because he's held the belt since then.
Right. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe I was just in such awe of the match and I was so happy that Adam Cole still won anyway. But I think.
Johnny Gargano's turning into Sami Zayn.
That. He's turning into Sami Zayn. And the other thing, too, is I think. That Adam Cole should have lost since all of the rest of the Undisputed Era lost.
Yes.
Because I was hook, line, and sinker thinking draped in gold. All of the Undisputed Era is going to have all of the fucking belts by the end of the night. So when the first match happened, I'm like, oh, fuck. Well, the North American? No? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, surely. But and then he did. I'm like, oh. Well, shit, now I wanted a straight flush. I didn't want it.
Well, at the you same got a time, pair. You
that
want
allows
a straight
him
flush.
To be an even better leader of the Undisputed Era.
I mean, does it? Or now, that cause dissension?
So here's the best part, in my opinion, about that situation, that Undisputed Era didn't win the titles.
You need to get motherfuckers to watch weekly on NXT. If this is going on Fox Sports 1, we're not getting it on the network for 30 days. So we're going to have to watch NXT live, either that or AEW.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is the storyline between now and then till the next takeover where Adam Cole's like, all right, O'Reilly Fish, this next match for the titles, if you don't win it, you're out.
Yeah.
Strong. Next title match, if you don't win it, you're out. And then we get all four of them with the belts. Because I've been from the moment that they teased that Undisputed Era at the beginning of the year, the team was going to be draped in gold. I'm thinking, four guys, draped in gold. Triple H is in charge. Big fan of Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen. Gets to live out a dream. give it to me. Build up a brand new face to knock out all of them. Make it fresh. Do something different.
Mm-hmm. Evolution I never did that either, right?
Mm-mm. Evolution, well, Orton had the Intercontinental and Ric Flair and Batista had the tag titles while Triple H was the main man. But then he wasn't in charge.
Yeah.
That was just the booking done for him. Now that he's got the book, he can twist it up and do it his way.
All right.
Honestly, match of the night has to be the main event.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
Goddamn, the tag match, dude.
That was a good match.
Fucking Street Profits, man. Angelo Dawkins is winning me over. I do not, as of that match, there is no Marty Jannetty in that team.
Okay. That's what I was going to say. Because whenever you say Angelo Dawkins is winning over, I'm like, okay, but Montez Ford, to me, shined bright like
he's been shining forever.
Exactly.
He's been shining forever. Yeah.
Ford's finding his groove now.
Yes.
He's finding a team.
Yeah.
It's a pair. It's a
you
team.
Find your style. But little by little, you find it. They complement each other so well. I'm glad that they're on both the main roster and the NXT roster.
Yeah.
But, no, I think they found their groove. Now, I just imagine they were going to drop the belts. Are they going to do what fucking the War Raiders did?
No.
I guess not.
Nope. So, keep going.
Keep going in both.
Keep going.
I mean, fuck, you only do NXT once a month. So you might as well.
A week
time.
And then after that, you're going.
Oh, yeah, but then FS1.
So did you think that match was better than the main event?
No.
I don't think so at all, but that opener was a solid second. It was a solid second.
Fish and a Ride being an amazing first match of an NXT takeover. Yep. That's right. Always guaranteed.
All right.
Yep. They always start the fucking pay-per-views off with a bang. It's always them two against somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Dawkins needs to stop saying fam.
Come on, fam.
That's only on the main roster. They just gave him that thing. He didn't say that before.
They don't cut promos every week for you to hear him and get used to it.
Yeah.
But that's always been Dawkins.
No. It's what the kids say. Yeah. He's hip.
Yeah.
He's relatable.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
Here's why I don't care about the negatives of Angelo Dawkins. You weren't here when we talked about this last week. The moment that McIntyre was going to step up and try to beat up Kurt Angle and Dawkins went like this, Dawkins, the chubby one, at the time, the Jannetty, he stood up to fucking McIntyre. You got me.
Yeah.
My heart. You got me. That's it. And now with the match.
Yeah. He's not just the other guy.
Balanced.
He's not Bart Gunn.
No.
I enjoyed the ladies' matches. From TakeOver?
I thought the non-title one was way better. Io Shirai and Candice LeRae was right out there on Match of the Night.
I liked Io Shirai.
Love Io Shirai!
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going
that song.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to turn my car light on and off for like an hour.
Dude, that match. And then Candice. Every time I think she's getting stale, she gets better.
Yeah.
She's good. She needs to be on the main roster. Even if Gargano stays, I don't like. I'll keep them away from each other.
I think the wrong person won the.
I know
title
the wrong.
Match.
Oh, the women's title match.
The women's title match.
No one's gonna beat Shayna Baszler.
It's. I suspected it. We talked about it last week that maybe there might be some Shayna fatigue, and no, it's confirmed.
Oh,
there is Shayna fatigue.
Yeah.
I've
had Shayna fatigue since before Io Shirai lost to her.
So did I.
Yeah.
Until Saturday.
Saturday? What happened Saturday?
Well, she went on her own.
Not just that. You're labeling her as the submission magician, yet she wins every match the same fucking way. Mm-hmm. How did she beat Mia Yim on Saturday?
I don't remember.
Figure four choke.
Oh, that's right.
With
the
legs.
Yeah, because she couldn't hold her because of the arm. You're right. Yeah.
So if she busts out maybe one more different submission to keep the women guessing on what to defend,
yeah,
you can actually build that up. Now, with that being said, if you're going fucking balls to the wall saying Rikishi ran over fucking Roman, I'm going to go balls to the wall and say before the year's over, we're...
Baszler?
Becky beats Baszler.
Okay.
Yep.
What about somebody, somebody who got launched
that in... That doesn't make sense.
Listen, somebody who got launched into the main car really fast, and then eventually the fans turned?
Lacey?
No. When NXT goes to FS1, bigger platform, who else to beat her than the baddest bitch on the planet? Ronda.
Oh?
Against Baszler. Putting her on.
You're not signing Ronda to put her on to FS1. You put Baszler on Raw.
We'll give her a gimmick of saying, like, you know what? Fuck, I need to go back and earn my shit again. I need to be back to the drawing board. What's the drawing board? Fucking NXT. I've always been one to shit on fantasy booking. I'm always the first one to be like,
which is what we've been doing all fucking night.
I'm always the one to be like, yeah, but that's not gonna happen. John McClane, not gonna happen. But I think that could happen. That's a good idea. If not, fucking I don't know. Dakota Kai comes back.
Okay. And I knew it.
Dakota Kai or Tegan Nox, one of them two.
There's always gonna be that looming elephant in the room when you're talking about Shayna Baszler. When it comes to fucking four horsewomen,
yeah.
When is that going to happen?
Yeah,
you know, yeah, we get it. The other two are.
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, as far as
because the other two are green.
Well, not even the four on four thing.
Both of them are swamp things.
Yeah,
at this point, that's how green they are.
They're green.
Brown.
And then we're going to have Rhonda, you know, she's going to get pregnant and start a family. So she's out for at least a year.
Poor kids, they're going to die of starvation. She can't breastfeed them.
None.
Oh, God.
Daniel Price. I'm not a fan of the Street Profits, but they found the Harlem Heat formula. Neither of them
is really fucking bad or
lesser than the other.
That sounds racist as fuck right there.
But is he right?
He's fucking dead right. That's why it's so good.
You know the part of town you in right now. You don't talk that loud. Velveteen squeaks one out.
Hi. Papa. Yeah, that was good.
That was fine.
I don't think it was like super memorable, but like he did.
I can't remember who he fought.
Pete Dunne. Oh,
yes. Yeah. The match was fine.
It was all right.
It was fine. It was fine. There was no bad match.
Overall, did NXT meet your expectation?
Yes.
Or did it exceed it?
No, it met it. I was like, fuck it, yeah. And by the end of it, I was like, fuck yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everything else was fine. The Matt Riddle, Killian Dane, I could have done without.
Save that for television.
Yeah.
Save that for the pre-tape for this week's, for tonight.
Yeah.
We're missing something from NXT, though, right?
No, that's it. All five matches.
And then the Matt Riddle.
Yeah. And there was no like premieres. Like, no, like.
They had Austin Theory from fucking.
Who the fuck is that guy? I had to look him up.
So he's a champion from Evolve right now. Okay. He's one of the youngest talents Evolve has. He's one of the stars featured on the series The Wrestler
on Vice.
From Vice.
Okay.
When they were talking about Gabe Sapolsky and Evolve being the future of wrestling.
Okay.
But apparently no one in Toronto knew who he was because not a fuck was given.
Dude, I was like, who's this guy?
None. I knew who he was.
I thought he was one of the TM61 guys.
Nope. And then Ricochet was ringside and somebody else was ringside.
So nothing big.
Randy says Velveteen's entrance was memorable.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
Oh my. The Mountie stuff, that was funny.
The Mountie stuff was cool. Fine, everything but the Toronto stuff, that's big sucking. You're already there for nights.
No, everyone did it. Everyone did it this whole weekend. They pandered like a motherfucker.
Yeah, they did.
Y'all ready to bust this nut?
All right, let's do it.
Fiend.
The fucking Fiend!
Go.
Oh my God, that was the best thing ever. So very rarely do the WWE get it right when it comes to like premiering somebody again or repackaging somebody. This is the most right thing ever. I watched that match 3 times this weekend.
Really?
This week. I watched it one time when I was watching.
Not long.
Yeah. I watched it one time live.
Okay, more.
Because it's hot. One time because it was live and I was like, fuck yeah.
I'll eat it if you don't want
it. Two times because I was like, hey, let me check out that intro. That song was pretty tight.
Code Orange, bitch.
Yeah, Code Orange. They never fail. And then 3, I showed up my boss, Jesse, my manager.
Not my boss, not your boss.
If you're lucky, it won't be your boss anymore either.
So I showed him, I was like, check this out. And we were just watching, we were like, oh my God. Bro, he killed him. He fucking snapped his neck.
Yeah.
He's Steven Seagal'd him.
Steven Seagal.
he Will Sasso see Steven Seagal'd him. So I was like, oh my God, dude, the intro was before the match started, I was already like, they did it. They fucking
got they it. Or he?
He. I was so scared of them ruining it, this whole thing, because he had it going. The Firefly Funhouse was cool. It was badass. It was hot shit. The Fiend, the debut, when he first got Vin, when he got Mankind, we got Krangle, I was like, okay, you got something going here. Don't fuck this up. And they didn't fuck it up. It was a perfect person they did it to with Finn. I think Finn was just as good as Bray Wyatt in this whole thing, too.
I saw Finn, and I just kept thinking about Apu. Aha! Now you know how it feels. Thank you. Come again. He sold that shit like a fucking $1 million,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Well, Finn's backstage news with the Z. He's supposed to be gone for 2 months after SummerSlam. He's getting married and, like, just taking a break. I hope he comes back and fucking as the new leader of the OC.
They teased that during the SummerSlam pre-show.
Oh, did they?
I didn't watch it. The OC go backstage where Finn's in the locker room, and they're like, hey, man, we're worried about you, man. You're fam, your old school fam. If you need help with the Fiend, we got your back. And Finn didn't say no. He didn't walk away like last time.
Yeah. He didn't say yes.
It happened before.
He didn't say no.
But he walked away from them. This time, he.
Yeah.
So.
Good. Good. I'm glad that I know that now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that my. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what do you think?
And I think and to piggyback off of that,
I'm gonna let y'all finish.
I think they're gonna turn the OC face because they're cheering. God. Dude, AJ can kill a baby in the ring. The fans are still gonna cheer AJ.
Yeah.
He's getting face reactions over your Universal Champion right now. Well, you gotta turn him face.
Face reactions over Seth. Well, okay.
Well, but ask Natty.
I need to address this. I haven't been on the show forever. I haven't really been on the internet as far as wrestling. I've kind of just been watching here and there. I've been struggling to finish watching Raw and SmackDown lately.
I bet that's what Bianca's
doing. Yeah. Why does everyone hate Seth all of a sudden? What the hell? He's not cool? Did he become Roman?
Let's see. Them getting ahead. Tired of Seth and Becky being shoved down their throats as the couple.
I get that.
Seth being the only one to beat Brock when he's holding the title. And for the Marky Marks, the Funky Bunch, him talking shit about Ospreay.
Okay.
When you're saying, hey, let's compare bank accounts and see which brand's better, you're already losing.
Yeah.
Like, this ain't a pissing contest, bro. That's always
the easiest way to be a dick.
You know, and so that's why he was the one that stepped up and was a bigger man and apologized. And then Ospreay's like, dude, a round of Chicky Nando's were good. So, but Seth bringing that up on himself. Like, he's digging his own grave, and Ospreay is just over there reading his last rites.
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
I think the marks are being overly critical.
That's what I think.
And this is not the guy that's all about Seth here on this podcast. That's you.
That's me.
But I agree. They're being overly critical about Seth.
That being said, I hope this runs better than 3 matches with fucking Corbin.
Yeah, true. That's true.
And that might be another issue.
Yeah.
Before
his title run wasn't good.
I don't want to jump way too far ahead. Yeah. All right, have you guys said your piece about the Bray Wyatt?
Yeah, you haven't.
Okay.
I haven't even said anything about Bray Wyatt.
No, go ahead. No, please.
Oh,
please,
snap.
Please.
You look like you're about to dog it.
No, please.
Love the theme song. I love that that he didn't do Sister Abigail. That needs to get out of his library, out of his repertoire.
He tried.
Yeah, but he didn't.
He didn't.
I love how they protected Finn.
Yes.
Finn didn't,
wasn't a squash.
Finn didn't tap out. He was pinned 1, 2, 3 because his shoulders were flat on the mat. And the move was it was paralyzing, not painful. So that's how. And in hindsight, I wish they would have done that a little more with Mankind in the beginning of his run with that move. Because that move, the first time he did it, it looks weird. So you don't expect people to tap out. You expect people to pass out or to get the 3 count. So I like that they're bringing that back.
Yeah.
I like the way – I think overall what won me over as of the Sunday of the Fiend was the nonverbal cues wearing the mask. You don't have the expressions of him like grimacing or him yelling or him smiling or him enjoying himself in the moment. So he has to come up with other things. So you see the war in his mind between good and evil, and he's right in the middle and he doesn't know what to do. And he's stopping himself from doing things. And then he starts going maniacal and doing crazier shit.
making up for the fact that you can't see him.
The hurt heel, like, yeah. Which one do I?
I'm waiting for the crowd to do a hurt heel chant.
That's what the song's for. And that's the, song's first for. The words of the song are hurt heel.
Yeah.
Oh man,
the floor is yours.
All right. The entrance was amazing. The song was amazing. The lantern was fucking amazing.
Eyes stitched together, mouth wide open.
The new finisher, fucking amazing.
Which is old. The, 25 years old.
The new, like, just aura of him emoting, amazing. The fact he's wrestling with a mask on, which is hard enough to do, is amazing.
Let alone his mask, because it's all-encompassing.
Yeah.
It's not like a luchador match. It's heavy.
Yeah. I absolutely loved the outing of the premiere of The Fiend as being a wrestler in WWE. I fucking loved it. It was great.
But!
Character development is one thing. Character development was great. Fine, we've built up this Bray Wyatt character. But character development is different than storytelling. What is the story there? There's not really a story there. Who's he fighting? Finn.
He killed Finn.
He killed Finn, so what?
It's a one-sided story.
It's a one-sided story. Yeah. Why Finn? Why? And when Finn first came out, because Finn came out first, when Finn first came out, he was dressed in all white. The first thought that was in my household was, oh, he's symbolizing the purity. He's white, so you know, and he has the white trunks, and you know, it's gonna show that he's the side of good. You know, kind of like Michaels and Taker where it was like good versus evil, this and that. It wasn't until we actually got a little bit further into the match that I realized the plain white didn't symbolize purity. The plain white symbolized jabroni. He was just the guy. He was just the guy to take the pinfall. He was just the guy that was going to go out there and job to Bray Wyatt. This is all about Bray. This is all about The Fiend. It could have been Rusev. It could have been Nakamura. It could have been Buddy Murphy. It could have been Ali. It could have been anybody else. Anybody. It didn't matter who the fuck he fought. It had no point as to why it was Finn. And that sucks. For the second biggest pay-per-view of the year with the guy who used to be Intercontinental Champion, used to be first-time Universal Champion, and you had all these high hopes for him. And, yeah, I get it. He's going away. Okay, great. You can still use him before he goes away and actually create a story of why you're writing him out. But instead, it's like, nah, he's just going to lose to Bray.
You don't remember 2 years ago SummerSlam, do you? What happened?
Remind me.
The Demon beat Bray Wyatt and almost – there's a badass still shot of the Demon standing over Bray Wyatt like this, the way Bray Wyatt was now standing over the Demon 2 years ago.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a changing of like, I'm the new Demon. I'm the new thing. The whole white, I think it's the whole wear white before Labor Day thing in August. That's the
kind of weird thing to
know. It's
kind
of weird of me to know. I think it's just like the passing of.
I don't think WWE was smart enough to actually write that I'm not expecting
WWE to write any of this shit right now. I'm thinking
Bray's writing his own shit.
So it's sink or swim on Bray. And so far he's
swimming with the fucking sharks.
On the side of Finn, I don't see that. I don't think that's what they're thinking.
Here's the problem.
You're filling in those blanks for WWE. WWE should have that blank filled in.
That's true.
For me.
So here's the problem. I don't care about Finn right now.
Yeah.
Finn's nothing.
And that sucks.
I know it sucks.
We should care about Finn.
No, that's the point. You bow out as low key as possible. So when you come back, everyone's like, oh, fucking yeah, that's right.
Okay, cool. Granted, that still doesn't change the fact that this isn't a storyline. It's just character development for Bray. And that's all. The Fiend and or Mr. Rogers in a fucking story involving somebody else. And that brings me back to fucking Aleister Black.
And that's the point I was about to say.
Okay, thank you.
We wanted to bust our nuts so soon and have both of them just go at it right now. Yeah, what if we're building equity in both of them?
Okay.
So that Mania, Raw versus SmackDown, The Fiend against Aleister.
Okay.
And they're established. Yeah. We know what side of good and evil Aleister's on.
And then
they're not on good and evil. They're both flirting the line in the middle because Finn's got
The Fiend's got his moments where he wants to stop and pull back.
Aleister has a little devil on his back.
Yeah. But it established those characters. Imagine you having this feeling right now about Finn that you don't care about, having the same feeling about a guy that you actually care about. So I'd rather them feed Finn first so that they get the appetite ready so that they can take
I think Finn was the perfect candidate for this whole deal.
Was Cesaro perfect for Aleister? No, but we're getting there. We're getting there. And then
it showed you how badass of a wrestler Aleister is, too. Yeah. You caught up with if you kept up with Cesaro.
Yeah, okay.
It's perfect. I thought it was great. I think everything was great about that.
Unfortunately for me, everything else is in a distant second. So you pick something from SummerSlam.
Oh, I hope you do because I got one. I hope you don't.
Say the main event.
Go for it.
I thought the main event was surprisingly good.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the main
best
event.
Best Brock Lesnar match I've seen in a while.
Yeah, in a while.
It's pretty good.
In a while. Yes, I'm saying I've seen it in a while.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked the fortitude that Seth showed, and it made up for the way that he beat Brock at Mania because it was let's be real.
Yeah,
it was a tainted victory. Yeah. It was a tainted victory. This wasn't a tainted victory. This was a Seth got his ass whooped, but he endured and he endured and he endured. The toughness of Seth is what actually won him the match.
Yeah, it was the grasshopper and that.
That was the difference between Brock and AJ. Brock and AJ. AJ couldn't withstand the storm. He was dishing it out. He dished it out good enough, but he couldn't withstand the storm. And this is what it reminded me of, and I want to throw this out here. You may remember this. I know you won't, but you may remember this. I'm not sure. WrestleFan, a couple of years ago, actually a couple of years in a row, one of the big attractions at WrestleFan, the online streaming charity event, you know, that my friend Jake would put on, one of the big things is for a block of like an hour or 2 hours, we would sit there and play Beat the Streak mode on WWE 2K18. And it's one of the hardest fucking wrestling modes because you pick whatever roster member you want to go up against The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and The Undertaker is programmed to be super hard and super cheaty.
Really?
And you can only win once out of every fucking 100 tries.
Yeah.
And like you sit there and you're watching somebody do, fuck, and it's somebody else trying, fuck, I was this close, fuck, I was this close. And I feel like those 100 tries are all the 100 tries that we've seen before with Brock, AJ, D-Bry, Roman, Finn. And Braun. Like Seth fucking did it, but he did it in a way where he knew he was going to get his ass whooped. He tried to weather the storm. He tried it here again to, you know, do this move, do that move. He was going to do it. And that. Like, it just reminded me of watching Beat the Streak mode. That's what it reminded me of. I liked it, and I liked it a lot.
I have a nit to pick in that main event.
That might be my match of the night.
Okay.
My nit to pick is I would have wanted, and it's funny I say this, but I would have wanted Seth to sell the injury a little more during the match. He got swung around
more the next night.
He swung around with fucking tape. That shit hurts, dude.
Fucking,
so like if you've been selling rib injuries for 2 weeks, why in the flying fuck are you going to do a sprock splash to the table where your ribs are hitting the edge of the fucking table?
Yeah.
No, I cannot suspend my disbelief enough like that.
Oh.
No, I can't.
That's just big dick energy, baby. You got to fucking roll with it.
That's just me.
Okay.
Well, he doesn't know anything about big dick.
I had my match of the night.
Hey, it's not about the size of the boat. It's about the motion in the ocean.
That's what us guys with small penises say.
I know how to get it done this way.
Right here, baby.
One.
That's all I need.
Are you sucking the blood off of your own arm?
Yes.
Because you scratched yourself?
Yes, I'm not letting you go to waste. Continue.
The world is a vampire, and so is Chris. My match of the night was the first match of the night.
Ew.
Surprising. Becky Lynch versus Natty. I had a one going into this match. I was like, whatever, man. Natty sucks. And you know, it's not that, whatever. And Becky was just getting stale on the whole man thing. Fuck no. End of the match, I was like, that was great. That was a great fucking match. That was a great wrestling match.
It was better than I thought it was going to be.
It exceeded my expectations. Good
wrestler.
We had low expectations.
Yeah,
I did.
One great wrestler and one good wrestler.
Yeah. That's and made the good wrestler better.
Fucking yeah, Becky looked so good at the end of that match. And it was so, I just thought the match the story setting in the match was great. It was cool. So fucking good. The crowd was into it with the first match of the night. You never see that in WWE pay-per-views anymore.
Yeah.
The WWE got it right putting it on first.
Hector, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
About time, man.
What up?
We talked all kinds of shit about you. What'd you think of the Canadian?
I liked it.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I said, it exceeded my expectations. I don't think it was the best match of the night, but it was really, really good.
Talk about a match that exceeded my expectations.
Oh?
Trish and Charlotte.
Really?
It was long.
But here's the thing.
Boring.
The match built up slow.
It did.
Then Trish took that bump outside and landed on her coccyx.
Yes.
And I thought
she doesn't have as much padding as she used to back there.
I thought that was gonna be the end. Trish got better after that nasty spot. She kicked it into sixth gear and started double clutching and went off.
There's
and
a reason she hit why. That,
she hit her finisher off the top rope with Charlotte.
Yeah. Okay.
She raised her worst there. Like if that was her last match, that was a good match.
There's a reason why there's a report saying now she wants another match.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she didn't.
She got that itch. She
probably wasn't expecting the match that she got. And she got a good match, dude. I liked it.
That tells you a lot about Charlotte. I'll watch
the next match. I'll give the devil her due.
Yeah.
Charlotte called that match.
Yeah.
Charlotte told her what to do. She followed directions. It looked good.
I don't know how I feel about Trish being the one to finally put a figure eight onto Charlotte. Nobody else has put a figure eight. There's been a lot of people putting a figure four on Charlotte, but it's never been as impactful.
No one does yoga as good as her.
There you go. The commentary put that over, and that's how you the little 10 seconds is all you need sometimes. Oh, I got it. That's it.
Okay.
Next.
Hold on. Still from there. One random little thing. I don't know if it's just like the little mark in me or the little Mexican in me, but ever since I know that Charlotte is like with
Andrade,
she's like so much cooler to me. Like she's like, hey, she's one of us.
I got him his citizenship.
Mira, Carla.
He's over here like, so you're saying I have a chance? Yeah,
can you see that? I married a blonde, blue-eyed girl.
Charlotte gave up the tap water and started chugging that Topo Chico, man.
She gave up that Dasani and went for fucking Topo Chico. Mexicans don't have a...
Fucking Hector, is this show going to be strictly WWE? You missed,
the first hour, dick!
I literally tuned them out for half an hour when they were talking to New Japan. So yes, you missed it.
But we're coming back around.
All the ways.
Next match, that you want to talk about.
A match that people aren't giving a lot of props to that I thought was great. Maybe because I'm a mark for both of them, but Bayley and Ember. Fuck, that was a good ass match.
I forgot about that.
That was a good wrestling match.
Yeah,
it was all right.
I thought Bayley looked strong. I thought Ember looked fucking like vicious.
Yeah,
and the right person won. Bayley off the top rope, whenever it was second rope or whatever. Yeah, it was inconsequential. The feud was minor. It was just there. Like, it was a good SmackDown match.
I'm ready for Survivor Series. Raw versus SmackDown. Give me Sasha versus Bayley.
That's yummy.
IKEA, it won't break. Next.
Right. I don't know. We're running out of matches here.
But it was. You know what? That's the other thing I want to say. It was not a dangerously long pay-per-view. It was three and a half hours. 9:30, it was over.
Kofi and Orton.
Go for it.
Oh, yeah.
It was good.
What do you think about the ending?
It's good.
For a pay-per-view?
Yeah, sure.
It wasn't the number one. It wasn't the main event. Number two, like I said the last time, fans are stupid.
Yes.
You don't get pissed off at that finish. No. You put down the money for next month.
Yes.
That's how the business goes.
That's why I was going to ask, because people have been shitting on the end. Yeah. Like, oh, you
that's the, that's the same thing with Cody and Darby Allin from freaking Double or Nothing.
I'll tell you why it's fine. Money I'll tell Fighter you why Fest. It's fine. Because not only is it actual storyline, but it's also, surprisingly, a little bit of character development with Kofi.
Yes, I was about to say, he's like a fucking onion now.
Kofi. You
peel him in layers now.
And just a happy-go-lucky pancake-throwing mofo. Yes. This particular feud has all been about Kofi wanting to right the wrong. And he beat the shit out of Randy Orton, but not in a heel way. No. He was justified because of the family there, so that adds another layer to who he is.
Definitely.
He's starting to get rounded out a little bit more and more as a fucking champion.
Yes. I love it.
you can't just go one way there.
Randy yeah,
Orton.
You can.
We no. need it. We need to give props to Orton because okay. when Orton gets sadistic, that's when he becomes yep. interesting.
Yes.
He tries to finger Jeff Hardy's ear and yeah. tries to pull it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He burns down a man she shed.
Interesting. Randy about to go full ham and Hitachi.
It was him. He burned down Cheryl she shed.
He's about to go ham and Hitachi on Kofi in front of his family. Interesting.
All right.
Keeps the momentum going. So as good as Kofi was doing it in a face way, you got to have Randy. A dance partner. And
this Orton's- was the most... Since Bray Wyatt, this is the most like interesting Randy Orton feud I've seen in a while.
Randy Neville says Orton doesn't get interesting.
He gets less.
Daniel Price says Orton's never been interesting.
It's been hey, 3 days.
Hey, nothing you can say.
It's been 3 days, and I think Dolph Ziggler is still rolling on the floor from yes. his spears.
He's bringing. Porsche
brings up more. Something too, which was it's something that I kind of agree with her on. It says 6-year-old Kofi sitting in the front row will go ham on when somebody's fighting his daddy. Shit, 6-year-old Kofi yeah. was he Kofi Jr.? I yeah. don't know his name. Kofi. Little Kiefer.
Yeah.
Like he was emoting very well. He was adorable mm-hmm. in that match. Like, and I can see why.
He wasn't really... like the Miz's dad who just no-sells
oh,
everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was fucking hamming it up, man. So that added to it, too.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, Ziggler's still rolling around from those three spears. Hey, man. Talk about making yourself, putting yourself over. Hey, Ziggler is as over as he's ever been.
I love that whole segment.
I did too.
Really? I hated it.
I've not.
Were you expecting a 10-minute Goldberg match?
Really?
Three matches.
I was expecting
two matches and a rapist.
I'll tell you what I was expecting. It wasn't so much the match. It was the shit that happened after the match.
Okay.
Every time Ziggler called him back, he just got speared again, and that's it. I expected at least one time super kick or like some sort of brass nuts or something cheap where he like, I got you.
Brother,
the match from bell to bell was good because I was not expecting Ziggler to start off with the kicks.
Also, let me remind you something. Goldberg almost killed The Undertaker.
I know.
He has to look strong.
I understand he has to look strong, but like, what is Ziggler? He is a heel, a cowardly heel, a really good cowardly heel, which is kind of tough to find in WWE. There's a lot of cowardly heels in WWE, but Ziggler's probably one of the ones that does it the best, okay? But I wanted him to somehow, some way, get a cheap shot to outsmart Goldberg at the very end.
So did I, because I don't like Bill Goldberg. So did I.
Right.
But neither does fucking Matt Riddle.
But getting speared.
I am not your bro.
Getting speared three times makes no sense. It just makes Goldberg or
I can,
look stupid.
But at the same time, I can watch. You remember how whenever you would play WrestleMania 2000 or even No Mercy for that matter, when you would create a character, you get to see what the moveset. You would just see them over and over take the rock bottom, take the center. Ziggler's that guy. I could watch him take moves all day and tomorrow. He's the best setter there has ever been. There's been no better setter than Dolph Ziggler. So, yeah, dude, come back.
Does anybody care that Owens is still employed?
No. I love Kevin Owens. I love his face.
What do we do with him?
He's not too cheesy as a face. He's
right
there. We like him for the same reason we hate him. He's him. He's himself. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't mind his gimmick right now. He's fine. What I don't like and what I hope was done that night, and it's not, Shane McMahon. Go away.
Yeah.
Go away. You're ruining it.
I was digging
Elias,
the promo.
Dude, I've gotten to the point where I don't like Elias anymore. It's just like,
I mean,
that's it.
Yeah, wait.
Get something. You get Drew in there.
You can hate Drew?
Yeah.
I like his face run, Kevin Owens. I like his face run. I'm ready for him to be done with Shane, and I thought we had a perfect out, and then here it comes again.
Yeah.
And instead of
now with Owens in the King of the Ring tournament, he put that over. Mm-hmm. I want to watch the King of the Ring tournament now.
Yeah, but no, with the Shane involved, I'm like,
that's
where I'm hoping they take Kevin Owens out and they replace him with somebody from another roster.
That'd be great.
Okay,
liven it up. So two things, I guess, that happened the last couple of days: thumbs up or thumbs down. Sasha's back.
Two.
You talk.
Why?
I don't know, man. Like, I'm kind of over Sasha. And
that's why it's so perfect.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, The wig reveal.
Oh my God.
Unnecessary. Like,
she's a girl.
No,
that wears colored wigs.
I get it.
You want?
I get it.
Paul Show.
I do. I get it. I understand. But like her wig reveal there, just to, oh, I'm a bad guy now. I have blue hair. Like,
hey, blue hair.
All right. Blue means so better. What are you?
That girl
do,
Randy, man? Is over Bailey.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know.
Hold on. It's a warning.
Yeah, the wig reveal to me just didn't really work, and it's like
the first thing
I don't care that she's back and she turned on Natty, because of course she's gonna turn, and like now she's just angry. She's angry terrible, Sasha. Yeah. Like
I
don't want Sasha on my television.
Okay, go ahead.
Now the reason I'm gonna tolerate Sasha on my television
is
because Corey Graves is absolutely fucking right.
But
he's continuing the fact that Sasha's a bitch and she's acting like a bitch. So Corey, the heel commentator, is actually coming off like a face against the whole thing with Sasha.
Okay.
And that is refreshing enough for me that I will see Sasha and Becky at Night of Champions for the title.
Yeah.
Arnold.
So when first Natty was trying to convince us to cry with her about her dad, which sucks, don't get me wrong, but just terrible fucking writing.
It's not terrible writing. It's
or terrible execution.
She's leeching off of the reputation of everyone else. She's not herself.
I don't like what
you're
doing.
You're not from Toronto. Nobody gives a fuck about you more.
She's from Canada.
No, that doesn't work that way.
I don't know, but what she was doing wasn't working. So I was like, dude, this is very cringy. My dad died too, and I don't fucking do this.
This is.
I was like, okay, just keep
this
going.
Is boring chants while Natty's talking about her dead family.
Yeah.
That's what, and that's not on one. Toronto's Toronto. They're gonna Toronto. You know what I mean? But that's not on. That's not on the crowd, man. That's on the writing. So on that, I was already like, whatever. When Sasha's music hit, it had been so long since I heard her music. I was like, oh, what the fuck's Alexa doing out here? That's Sasha. I was like, oh, and then she came out. First thing, my wife says it out loud. That's a bad wig. I'm like, I know, right? That looks terrible. That's a terrible wig. So we were watching, and then I was just like, so the first
you thing. You saw
What?
Randy.
Well,
Natty has too much Botox to emote.
Oh, man, as soon as she clocked her, I was like, yes, yes, yes. This is the Sasha.
What did he say?
Some racist.
He went from wig reveal equals I went from Barney horse to Smurf horse. Yay.
Or in Sasha speak.
So honestly, this is the best Sasha we ever get. Heel Sasha, there's
the
no
original better. Horse woman.
There's nothing better than heel Sasha. And she's
you didn't like Sasha coming back. Don't talk shit.
It's not because
say what y'all want. Wrestling
she's
wise,
Mary Adam Page.
Wrestling wise, there's you can't really find too many better than her, women wise.
Yeah, I get
so
that.
But
I also felt like she was really stale. At least
she
went
stale.
Away.
She was terrible. Everyone wanted heel Sasha.
Yeah.
What you want.
No, I did not want heel Sasha. I wanted boss Sasha from NXT.
Yeah, which was a
we've
heel.
Been getting what no, we've been getting watered down shit of her on Raw. We have not.
Her new shirt looks badass.
It's like now
it's a design, though.
Yeah. Now I'm getting throwbacks of NXT Boss.
I'm not sold on it yet.
I'm not sold
yet.
Either.
I don't think we're
that,
there. We're not at that point.
I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt because she has a track record at NXT and on the main roster. That's more Vince McMahon than her. They give her the belt. Take it away. Give it back to Charlotte. They did it four fucking times with her. Mm-hmm. Let her have her fucking thing. Let her be the one to end the man's run.
I missed this.
What'd you miss?
So explain to me, because a lot of people on the internet are praising this match. Roman Reigns versus
Buddy Murphy
on SmackDown Live.
That was a badass
match, actually. Match of the week candidate.
What?
Candidate.
I need to go back and watch this.
Match.
Because apparently Roman put Buddy over.
Yes, exactly what
Buddy
I'm
put
saying. Buddy
over.
Buddy put everyone's saying Roman put Buddy, which he did, you know, like he helped them a lot.
He
gave him the rub, but you
both
can only do so much with the rub.
Both
Buddy
of them,
fucking Murphy, he's not the best kept secret no more.
Yeah, both of them put on a badass.
That
match.
Dude,
I
fucking brawn.
I for a split second thought Buddy was going to get the upset victory.
Yeah, twice he almost did it.
Yeah,
especially towards
but
the end.
But Buddy actually pulled off Murphy's Law on Roman.
Oh,
yeah. I was like,
that's a hard move.
I didn't think he was going to be able to get him up for
dude,
it.
that last knee where he held him by his arm.
Yeah.
Knee.
Dude. Oh.
In 1 week, in 2 weeks, really, I have seen
Kamagoye from Ibushi. So, that's the move that
worked. Yeah.
He's pretty much stealing Ibushi and Omega.
Hey, man. The Simpsons stole the fucking honeymoon. The Flintstones stole the honeymooners. The fucking, you know what I mean? Itchy fucking whatever. You know,
South Park, where did these ideas come from?
South Park had a whole goddamn episode saying Simpsons did it. Come on. I mean, we had the Scorpion Deathlock and the sharpshooter at the same time.
Yes.
And then the sharpshooter with your hands, the cloverleaf.
Yeah.
Yes. See it.
Murphy.
Murphy, man, he brought it.
That was a coming out party for Murphy. Yeah. I'd say.
But I'll tell you this much about Roman: in the span of 2 weeks, he's elevated somehow. Joe, Rowan, and Buddy Murphy. By just being with them in storyline and making their characters develop more.
This is the same.
We have another we have another element to Joe's character, a sympathetic one, and also a fuck you because like hey, fuck
and
you
even
guys.
Then Joe is like the new Bullet Club where it doesn't matter if you book him as a good guy or a bad guy, he's gonna get his cheers all the time.
Yeah. And he's gonna get his boost.
But Rowan's a big character now. Yeah. That whole segment with Rowan and I'm going to call it Charles Manson. That's what they're going for. That's what I see. He's starting to look like he's doing his little his faces,
his twitches.
I'm like when I saw it, I was like, oh, they're doing like the whole man because he's not doing anything. His people like Charles Manson never killed nobody.
He has people.
People did it for him. Mm. So Rowan and his people, whoever this other person, I guarantee he's probably this person too, which would make Harper perfect or whoever else. But
so you redo the fucking Wyatt family, but with Daniel Bryan
as the leader all along from the beginning when Bryan was whispering to them. And Bryan's like, you don't teach them. I teach them.
Yeah. But either way, no, I love
character development.
I love what they're doing. I love the little, the deep Bryan, Charles Manson little thing. Even if it's just for this episode, it was great.
Yeah.
But everyone's getting a little rub from Roman.
Which
2 years Superman ago, punch. You could never do that.
Right.
And it's fun. I'm glad that Roman's finally at that level.
Yes.
Because if he's going to be the top guy, he has to prove that he can do that. The last person that did that was Cena.
Thank you. You took the words right out of my mouth.
For all the hate that we give Cena in that lull period where he was the Superman babyface that everybody hated him.
That last year and a half.
His rivalry with AJ Styles.
Oh, yes. Fuck yeah.
The U.S. Open tournament match with Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Him putting over
Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Chad Gable.
Yeah.
He had matches with like Cesaro.
Nakamura on SmackDown for number one. Do I need to keep going? Yeah.
No.
Do I?
No, you're fine. No.
Got you.
And
now that Roman's actually stepping up to that position, now he's finally – and again, it's helping, number one, he's not in the title picture. Number two, things are happening to him that are earning him sympathy to where he's getting less. He's not getting none. He's getting less booze. Mm-hmm. And you missed this last week. If Bischoff had the balls to say, hey, if Roman's getting booed – how do I get him to not be booed? Oh, let me put him with someone that always gets cheered even when he's supposed to get booed. What if I make Joe a babyface and team these fuckers together? And we got a tease of that.
But that didn't happen yet.
But we got a tease of that when Roman's like, hey, man, don't move, man.
SmackDown, shut that down. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen.
They went this way.
That's not
going to
happen.
Good.
The promo that Joe did was brilliant. He's so good on the mic.
On SmackDown or on Raw?
On SmackDown. On SmackDown,
both.
Well,
on Raw, he cussed out, he told the audience, I didn't see the SmackDown.
Wait,
stuff.
That was SmackDown.
That was Raw.
After he beat Zayn.
Okay, yeah.
Because he was still getting a nice reaction.
Okay.
And the Street Profits were out there chilling, and Joe didn't hurt them.
Yeah.
So he was still kind of being a little baby.
He got Sami Zayn, So that was good. A random match that was getting up there to match of the weekend, which random, not random, but whatever. The Kabuki Warriors against Alexa and Nikki. That was a great match. But I, fuck, man, I hate that Asuka is still getting fucking screwed.
It's not,
but
it's not that.
Kairi has gotten pinned both times.
Here's the problem.
And Asuka had a little look in her eye.
Both times.
She had a little look.
First, Paige had to look first. And then Asuka had to look.
Asuka had it. I saw it. I saw it.
No. Kasana. For weeks, I look at Asuka when they introduce her as a team.
Oh, she's
gone. She's gone. There's no one here.
Yeah.
She's gone. Like I see her back in Japan by the end of the next year. Like they're not doing her right. And I don't think she's happy with this.
Wicked fucking heel turn.
On Kairi. On little Kairi. Pirate.
And then killing Bailey again.
Nah.
She killed her in NXT. I literally killed her.
Scary thought.
She's dead.
Scary thought. But just I'm going to throw this out there. I'd pull a New Japan and I would have Asuka beat the shit out of Paige.
Oh, but she's had neck surgery yesterday.
not tomorrow. But eventually, yeah. You want Asuka to get that heat.
Are you cleared? Good, because we need to whip your ass.
What's the first thing to do with D-Bry?
Yeah.
He got murdered by fucking Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn like the day one. It's full go or no go, baby. Yeah.
What's Damn. Your match of the week?
Oh, man. See, I can't see any of the G1s because I didn't see in it. So that takes me out of that. So we're probably not going to have an all-encompass one.
Oh, no. We might.
Fuck it. Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole.
All right.
Daniel. No. Where's Hector? Is he still in there?
Hector's still in there.
We need you. Your – he picked Cole Gargano. What's your match of the week pick?
Shingo versus Ishii.
By the way, Ishii is in a random ass like K-pop video. Like it's so fucking weird. Like it's like a Japanese girl in like a love song, and he's like the love interest of her. It's so random. He does not match the fucking. He's like a whole another side to him. He's all soft and pink shirts. Weird. I'll never see him again. The same.
Chris.
My list of match of the week
candidates. Oh,
that's
shit. Oh, yeah, I had three.
The Fiend against Finn, story-wise.
Okay.
Cole versus Gargano.
Yeah.
Kenta versus Ospreay was a nice little appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
My match of the week pick is Ishii Tomohiro against Takagi Shingo.
That's your pick?
That's my pick.
I was like, Papa Shango came?
And
Papa Shango.
And Hector
told
us before we went on the air days ago that we needed to watch this match because there might have been another match of the year candidate.
Oh.
So.
What match?
The same one versus Ishii.
Yeah. I want to add it. I've done like two shows this year. Go for it.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
Well, I think we already know what Hector's opinion of that is because he's the one who told us, hey, this is a match of the year candidate.
Them being Japan, he's like Meltzer.
Yeah. So before. He's a Mexican Meltzer that doesn't watch Mexican wrestling.
He's Melendez.
Veracruz de la Joya Cardenal. So, before we make a decision, tell them why you picked this match as your match of the week.
Oh, well, before I tell them that, Daniel Price says, hey, that was 2 weeks ago, that match.
Oh.
But he also says, Sonata versus Okada. Goddamn, that match was nothing but fire.
Hello, Mata.
I haven't seen that one.
Hello, Fada.
Okay.
Here I am.
All right. So,
Cam Sonata.
So, if we're talking about the NXT match, because that's the other match in my mind that's probably going to be match of the week and or maybe match of the year elevated. But if we're talking about that match versus this one, I want to draw a little comparison.
Sin City?
The comparison is this. I think that stylistically, there could be two completely different matches, but one of these matches is something that you don't see very often. This match with the Shingo versus Ishii is Sin City. Now, I'm not drawing a comparison quality of movie-wise. I'm drawing the comparison stylistic-wise.
Presentation.
It's something different that you don't see a lot. It's a comic book movie that's in all black and white, and it's supposed to have like this noir style where it should be an old movie, but it's not that old and this, that. So it's different. That's what this match is. It's different. If you go and you look at Gargano versus Cole is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It's badass. It's flashy. Oh, fuck. There's colors everywhere. It's a great story. It's like, but something that you would come from it to expect from something out of Marvel and something that's like comic book wise. And yeah, it's not a live action. It's animated. So you could do all this colorful shit. Right. And that's the kind of stuff that has a little bit more mass appeal. That's the kind of stuff that I really, really like. That's the kind of stuff that I typically vote for when it comes to match of the year candidates and stuff like that. But just the fact that this match was so different, I said it right after we were done, that match painted a masterpiece using only half of the colors on your palette. And this is why I say all this. You probably have no idea where I'm coming from, Arnold, but you probably see where I'm going with this.
I haven't seen this match, Sin City, nor Spider-Man verse. So I don't know what the fuck's going on right now.
This match had a total of about 10 moves.
Daniel Price, Ishii versus a bulldozer.
Yeah, book it. This match had a total of about 10 moves between the two of them. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of actual moves. It was clothesline, lariat, lariat, chop, chop, lariat, chop, chop, chop,
forearm,
suplex,
forearm, forearm,
suplex, forearm, forearm,
lariat, lariat. The rapper? What the
like,
fuck?
Like, it was really fucking crazy, but not because, oh, wow, they did so many different flippy dippies and all technical masterpiece. No, this was two fucking bulldozers to take Daniel's word, two bulldozers going at it. You know, it wasn't frontline.
It was Robot Wars.
Yeah, it wasn't even Robot Wars. It wasn't like Call of Duty, machine guns, shotguns, grenades, running around, going around corners. It was one tank over here, one tank over there, and they're firing fucking ballistic missiles at each other. Like, they were going so hard. And usually you would say, okay, that's going to be kind of make it for a boring match. This match was so stiff, so hard hitting, that when, even though they didn't do different moves, the moves looked incredibly difficult to pull off. And then this toughness of Ishii leaning into, it's like, all right, you're going to hit me? Hit me harder, bitch.
Leaned into the forearms to the point that he was hurting Shingo's arm.
Yes! Shingo was on the offensive, but being defended while doing it. It was so fucking weird, but it was fucking beautiful, man. It was art. Art, I say. I don't understand the language, but I saw the shit that they were emoting at each other, and even when they weren't verbally talking, I know what they said. They're like, that's all you got, motherfucker? You really gonna hit me like that? Okay, fine. Motherfucker, hit me again. No, hit me again. No, pussy, hit me again. And like, no, they just kept doing it. And it was right from the get-go. The thing that you talk about where all the New Japan matches are trying to start. No, right from the get-go. Wham! And clothesline from hell, clothesline from hell, clothesline from hell. Stan Hansen was, oh my God, he had such an erection watching this
2K10 game.
Yeah.
He was fucking JBL.
You
was
need
like,
to see it, man.
Yeah, it was great.
If not for this fucking rainstorm right before the goddamn show, I would have made it in time to watch
it. I could have watched it, yeah. Chris, what do you have to say about this?
There.
This might be one of the top three matches of the entire tournament for me. This match is the reason why New Japan has the sobriquet of Fighting Spirit Unleashed. These two guys, they did so much with so little. I never, for the life of me, understood the nickname Stone Pitbull for Ishii Tomohiro.
Oh.
I got it today.
Yes.
Like, this little guy, like, even in a loss, I would rather have him on my team because he is not going to give up on you. Yeah. Not only that, when you're hitting,
I'm just looking at his picture right now. I'm getting
he
scared.
Wants more. Like, he doesn't start the fight, but he's not afraid of it. And he'll come closer to the fear instead of walking away from it. man.
Dude, this tournament, I haven't seen anything, but I've only read this tournament. These matches are why I love the concept of New Japan so much. Because the hype's gone. AEW, they just got their shit. All the little marks there were for NJPW last year, they don't give two shits about it no more. They all can't wait for AEW, blah, blah, blah. Their consistency stays.
They sell out.
They just fucking do their thing, go about their business. They fucking wrestling is the number one fucking thing. And they tell their stories in the ring.
Yeah.
They don't need anything else. for a year, all these other guys brought it to them and got them, you know, probably more money, popularity or whatever, but they still got it. And after the hype beast leaves, they're still doing their thing.
Ishii has two methods of sell. One.
Yes or no?
One, the no sell. Shingo is chopping Ishii so hard that you see all the sweat fly off his chest and he's like
stiff as a board.
Like that. He ain't moving. Or if you hit him hard enough, he'll drop. Not like a traditional pro wrestling bump. He'll fall like he's just dead. Like he'll just collapse and fall.
Yeah.
Like there's a realness to him, you know? And Shingo is impressing me more by the day.
Is he young or old? He's old. Okay.
My first Shingo match, he was undefeated in a junior heavyweight tournament and was beaten in the finals in the championship match by Will Ospreay. And now he's in there with a former never open weight champion that's used to wrestling with no rules, no flippy dippies, no just come at you, break or stay. And
this
guy's doing everything. If the match between Shingo and Ospreay didn't sell you, Shingo against Ishii will sell you.
This match is the real, true no flips, just fists.
I was gonna say that.
That sounds like a no flip, just fist match. What's funny is that Shingo can do that, and that's why I said it last week. Shingo is quickly becoming my favorite wrestler. Like he gets you a man that can do both. He can do both. He's the strong
elbow from the top rope.
Yeah.
That trust fall elbow right in the sternum.
This was so weird, Arnold. He went up the corner.
We're losing him again.
Yeah. He went up the corner, but he didn't turn around to face the guy to drop the elbow. He climbed up and then just fell back. Dropped an elbow.
Yeah, okay.
He just walked
kind of like how Io does her moonsault. Just I look at him once, and after that, it's all fucking memory. It's all like praying that I got the right spot.
Except it wasn't. It was just a walk up. Damn, bitch. It was so weird, man. Yeah. But it was cool weird. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, just by the description, it sounds like, I mean, I'm...
One, two, three. Yes. That's
just by the description, it sounds like a fun match that I'm going to watch in December.
Daniel says, the great thing about G1 is everyone fights everyone on their block at least once. No excuses. The question about Shingo is, do you keep him with Los Ingobernables?
Is he in that stable?
Yes. Okay. Juan Hiro comes back? Or do L.I.J. embrace Shingo and jump? I can't say this guy's name.
Takahashi.
Random question to ask.
Do you have an answer for that? No.
I'm not sure if I'm ready for them to split yet.
Okay.
Was Andrade in Gobernables in Japan?
He was in Mexico.
He
was one of the original founders of Los Ingobernables in Mexico.
Okay.
Los Ingobernables de Mexico.
And then that's
basically Los Ingobernables.
Yeah,
that's
Los Ingobernables. Yeah. And then
so Naito wasn't getting over in Japan.
Yeah, I see his story.
He went to Mexico and they were telling him, dude, we can't see you. You're always squinting. So that's why he goes like this with the one eye.
Yeah.
And he became so popular in Mexico that he took the stable over and created Los Ingobernables.
Because I know them two were like, love each other.
That's why he has some
luchadores. They do the tranquilo. Yeah. They both do
Does Rush in ROH, because he was in Los Ingobernables after Sombra left.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tongue in cheek. Like for the crap that I hate Andrade because they dished his name and his gimmick and all that other crap. The fact that he still does that and Rush does that and Naito, like they're connecting all the universes together. I completely forgot
about another match that'll be candidate. Please. Andrade versus Rey Mysterio 2 out of 3 falls match.
I've seen that 100 times this year.
I can see that 100 more times.
Not if Rey's losing all
Rey,
of them.
Oh yeah, Rey always loses. But dude, oh my God, there was a move where Rey almost killed him. Like it was so fucking good. It was so fucking good.
Was it the inverted Hurricanrana?
Yes. Into like a DDT. He flipped and he grabbed and then he just went bam. And like, oh, he dropped him on his head.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, they need to figure out what they're going to do with Andrade and do it because he's a fucking star.
So far, Styles versus Rollins, Universal title match from Money in the Bank. Cody versus Dustin Rhodes, Double or Nothing, AEW.
Yep.
Same show, Lucha Bros versus Young Bucks, tag titles. Ospreay versus Takagi, best of Super Juniors final for the light heavyweight, for the junior heavyweight championship.
Goddamn.
And if this doesn't sound familiar, Takagi against Ishii from the B block, G1 Climax 29. Those are our five matches so far.
So far.
Five. Which and we're in August.
Yeah, which could have included a couple different ones, but there aren't on there. But.
Well, that's true every
yeah.
year.
Yeah, every year there's honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Got five.
Cool.
And then, fuck, AEW starts next.
So far, no NXT match. So far, our first match was a WWE main roster match, which rarely happens.
Mm-hmm.
AEW
starts next month.
AEW and New Japan are on the board with two apiece.
Yep. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to call this, and I'm willing to sit on this grenade. As much as I love the idea of AEW, as much as I think it's going to be nothing but beneficial for the wrestling community, I think, and much like the WWE, when they started putting the network and putting, you know, more pay-per-views out there, I think the quality of it is going to go way down.
Once they go to a weekly show?
Once they go to a weekly show.
That's very possible because it's scarcity of product, basically. Yeah,
think about
it.
Every time we've seen, what, four specials in the past year?
Mm-hmm.
And they've all been, holy shit, you know what I mean? Now think about it, that if we're in April and we've already had four pay-per-views and it's like, all right, bro.
Yeah.
Or we're in the fourth week of shows, you know what I mean? Like, I hope I'm wrong.
They have the benefit that they're doing a tag team tournament, so there's something, there's programming already in there to fill in.
Mm-hmm.
They're already working towards the women's title that's going to be done in the first couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. And you're already going to have a debuting champion for the men when it comes around. I think they announced in the third episode, first round matchup in the tag team tournament, Private Party against their idols, the Young Bucks.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the first episode. Cody versus
Sammy Guevara.
That's opening the show.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's gonna be good. Yeah. So again,
six-man tag. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks against Chris Jericho and two mystery partners.
It's a mystery.
Mysterio.
Like I said, I hope I'm wrong because I want them to succeed. Just solely because. I'm a WWE guy, so like because I know it's only gonna make each other better, especially when this Bischoff Heyman era actually begins, because it still hasn't begun. There's a lot of rumors. Vince McMahon's still going in there and rewriting a lot of shit.
Yeah,
eventually it's gonna get to the point. Yeah, eventually it's gonna get to the point where, you know, it starts. So I think it's gonna be Iron sharpening Iron by the end of the year.
I hope so.
I just hope that they don't water themselves down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're just gonna have to wait and see, and I'm okay with waiting and seeing. Like, I really am interested in what happens.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
That's it.
I hate closing shows on downers. We've done it several times. Ashley Massaro, Silver King. Did any of you guys see the video of Vampiro?
No, I heard about this, but I didn't.
What happened? So Vampiro's in his car. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know how he ended up there. And he's talking about his struggle with Alzheimer's. And had I known we were going to talk about this, I would have had the video queued up. But it's a lot more optimistic because he talks about towards the end that he's going to fight it. He's not going to let it beat him. But just I don't want to say it's the face of mental illness, but that's what it looks like. You know, you either ignore it and let people do crazy shit, like throw fireworks at Memorial City Mall when you're dressed up like you're about to shoot somebody.
Yes.
Or you listen to them and help them out as best you can.
Yeah.
Or help them help themselves out the best they can. And that was the video in a nutshell of Vampiro.
A cry for help?
Not so much a cry for help, just understanding.
Okay.
You know, he mentioned it. Yeah. I hope I'm not doing this for attention, but I know I'm not going to remember this in 2 hours. Saying shit like that sucks,
dude.
That hits close to home on my end. Both of my wife's grandparents died of dementia. So, like, it's, you know, they go, I don't know if they go hand in hand per se, but I just found out recently this year that it kills you. Like, I thought you died because, oh, you don't remember to fucking take your medicine or no, it literally shuts your body down.
It messes with your mind so much that it shuts the rest of your body down.
Exactly.
And then you just
yeah.
deteriorating.
So I found that out in the last 12 months.
Oh, yeah. Dementia and Alzheimer's is just, terrible.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
It's one of the worst deaths you could have. Seriously. Yeah,
it sounds like it.
But he's committed to beat it. So I'll cheer him on.
Hopefully he does, you know? I mean, that's a good feeling to have at the end of the day. But, I mean, there's no cure for it. Yeah. You know, there's not too much
you can once you got it, it's a matter of time.
At least not now. Maybe in the next, you know, two or three generations down, there was no cure for cancer or AIDS when
we were young. So
as of right now, there's not.
As long as he has a quality of life that's worth keeping on, you know, he keeps going for it, then I guess that's the most you can ask for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
Go grind the car. Yeah.
My grandma, Daniel says, my grandma had dementia. Went to visit her in the nursing home one day. Found her half dressed, thinking that she was going out on the town. No nurses helping her. It's rough.
Yeah. It's hit or miss on the homes too. Yeah. It's hit or miss on the homes too. It's either take care of them or make it worse.
Yeah. Oh shit. Okay. Well, that being said. Thank you so much,
guys. Still awareness.
What's our next episode?
In 2 weeks.
You said that last week.
No, last week we said 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
You decided.
But then I said, hey, I watched wrestling, guys.
You decided you wanted to do a podcast, and then you almost didn't come, fucker.
Fucking way.
Hey, you're not made out of sugar. You come. 2 weeks. We're going to be predicting three shows are happening in one day.
Fuck.
New Japan Pro Wrestling Royal Quest. It's happening Saturday night in London in the Copper Box Arena.
Oh.
The main event is Kazuchika Okada defending the heavyweight championship against Minoru Suzuki.
Oh, nice.
Kenta against Ishii.
Okay. Match of the year candidate.
Already.
Then NXT UK takeover in Cardiff. The main event so far. Tyler Bate gets a shot at Walter.
R.I.P.
Yes.
Walter.
Three matches have been announced so far. That's the only one I can remember.
He's got a match.
Yeah, against KK something, KBB something. It's something. It's three syllables.
Kelly Blue Book.
That too. Yeah, it's like 80%.
Like the card?
And finally, AEW All Out.
Scott. What's up, Scott? You start talking about UK, and then Wild Scott appears.
My ears—they burn.
He says that's in Wales.
Okay, what? Sure. Cardiff, Wales.
Yeah, Cardiff. That's like it's Houston. No, it's in Texas. Yeah, but it's still in Houston.
It's in Canada. No, it's in Toronto.
I'm looking for a job in Houston. Where? Around spring. That's not Houston. And we're ending it with AEW All Out Hangman versus Jericho for the inaugural championship, heavyweight championship. First time ever, Moxley versus Kenny Omega.
Ooh.
There's about five other matches going on. The pre-show is a casino battle royal.
God,
all women. Oh. Evelise, Teal Piper, Roddy Piper's daughter.
Okay.
Brandi Rhodes, a bunch of other women are going to be in there. We're going to cover all that 2 weeks.
Cool. I got
it. 2 weeks.
I want to throw something else out there, and I'm sorry. I forgot this.
ROW, ladies' night.
Well, ROW this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
They had a show same day as fucking NXT, which I don't know what the hell they were thinking.
Yes.
But
Dio.
Brennan was back.
Our boy Brennan was back.
Dio
Madden.
What the fuck? When the fuck did that happen? I saw Dio.
That's his fourth name since he got there.
Is it?
I'm just kidding.
Oh. Like,
but y'all want to believe
you? Yeah, I would believe you.
So Dio Madden versus Ruthless Ryan Davidson.
He got that off a pair of shoes.
Yeah, for the was it the
Texas title?
I think it was the Texas title.
Yeah.
Or no, I think it was the ROW
title?
Grand Championship, whatever they call it over there. The big belt. Yeah. Which back when Brennan was still Marcellus Black, they had three separate matches. Brennan won all of them.
Oh, yeah.
So this was like, okay, you've been gone. I'm the big dog now.
Put
you're
coming me over. Back.
You're really gonna take my title? Okay, that was the story. It was a good little match.
Went?
No, I watched it on YouTube because they were streaming it live in Technicolor.
Cool. Okay.
So I watched it on YouTube as it happened live.
Since it happened live on YouTube, would you be willing to put that as a match of the week candidate?
No.
Okay. It's our boy.
It was a good match. It was good.
Just lost titles.
He said so.
No.
I mean, no, not so match funny. Of the week, but it was good.
Genuine honesty on Able.
It was good.
Ladies' night is next, right?
Ladies' night is next.
Will there be any good matches on there?
So, probably not. Evil Lisa
is coming. Evil Lisa, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
Brennan, apparently the Ryan has a coat that has chains on it. The chains like represent the different places that he's defended his title in or whatever. So it's like four different chains. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so he was going to use the chain. Referee was out, used the chain on Brennan. Brennan kicked out. Brennan got the thing, thought the ref was still distracted, decided, you know, what's good for a goose is good for a gander. I'm going to use the chain on him. Ref DQ. Turned around just in time. Hey, that's a DQ. So Brennan got DQ'd. But yeah, it was a nice
I noticed now he's – because everyone he tags with eventually gets big. Now he's tagging with Isaiah Swerve on the in the house shows, who was in that tournament on NXT. I don't know if you watch NXT anymore. They had like their little NXT like up and comer tournaments or whatever. The top Isaiah prospects, Scott, yeah. Isaiah Swerve
prospects. Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah, now him and Brandon are tag. They just do another black Shane guy Strickland. With him. Yeah, Shane Strickland. Oh, okay. They do another black guy with him.
Yeah,
like they've been doing. It's like his fifth black guy he teams with.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, Angelo Dawkins was the same way. He had tag partner after tag partner.
So was Chad and Gable. Chad Gable and
Jason Jordan.
Jason Jordan
was looking for partners after because he teamed with Corey Graves first. Right?
Yeah, they were champions, weren't they?
Yeah.
No. Who was Corey Graves champions with?
Pac. Neville. Whatever.
Yes. Anywho. Yeah. Oh, one question before we leave. Bret Hart was at SummerSlam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he was also with the AEW thing, and it was no thing. But I had read some shit about saying that, yeah, he turned down something about WWE, about being like, a part of their something.
Oh, I don't know.
I actually love that because, to me, it's like, hey, man.
Simpsons episode. He gets two paychecks that way.
Or the episode of Boy Meets World where Corey is Vader's on it, where he has to go to the wrestling match, and he comes back like to the part of his movie where Vader has to go. Shit, okay.
All right, that's the show. Get out of here. Adios, my friends. Good. Keep it classy. I want to see some naked dudes. It's my
before you get up.
Oh, goddamn.
Arnold, get out that way. I got to ask.
That's sweat right there.
Ooh, you left an ass imprint on that chair.
I have to ask. How was Blink-182 and Lil Wayne?
I fucking loved it. Lil Wayne pretty much stole the show.
Yeah?
That he was like really, a 22-song set.
Yeah, well, he played a fucking 3 minutes on everybody. Yeah, he played a verse of every song. No, it was really good live band. Badass drummer, badass bass player, badass guitar player, DJ, pyro, fire everywhere. Fucking, by the way, SummerSlam pyro, awesome. Fucking, yeah, it was good. Neck Deep was good, but the sun was right in their faces. They were like, hey!
Welcome to Texas.
Yeah. And, Blink's still good.
They did Enema of the State live. They did
the whole album from front to, front to back.
They played Enema.
And then they did the rest of their hits after that. So they played for like an hour and a half.
Did you sing along to Build This Pool?
They played Build This Pool and they played a family reunion, which the lyrics are shit, piss, fuck, cocksucker, like a motherfucker.
Tits, fart, yeah,
I was the only one in that whole row that knew it. So I was looking like they were looking at me.
It's like you score dance that shit, you know?
Yeah. And then they went into the crowd. They played acoustic songs, which was a ruse because Undertaker gong hits. Travis Barker comes and does a drum solo. First, a tribute to Nipsey Hussle, rest in peace. And then he did a fucking badass drum solo where he was going like.
Oh, that's the same kit that they used when Blink-182 came with Green Day Jimmy Eat World. It was like 15, 20 years ago.
The Pop Disaster Tour.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be my first concert in ninth grade. It didn't happen.
Your mom didn't let you go?
My mom didn't let me go. And it was like going in circles and it was tight. It was a great night. It was a good night.
Cool.
Great concert.
You should have came to see Oakley Dokley. Last Saturday
at Scout Bar
with Max Savage. Holy shit. I've seen Oakley.
Are these bands any good? Because I know they look cool.
You like you listen to a lot of heavy music, so you'll like the sound of Oakley Dokley. You'll love the lyrics.
They're like post-hardcore, right?
You'll love the lyrics, though. I've never heard Max Sabbath before. So when they did the song GMO Blind, their cover of Snowblind, and they did Frying Pan, their cover of Iron Man.
So they're legitimately like Black Sabbath.
Yeah, but they were they changed the lyrics, okay. But it's fucking hilarious. There was an opening band called Playboy Man Baby.
Okay.
And they completely threw me off because their first song was like a swing song. And I wasn't expecting that at fucking Scout Bar.
Yeah.
And then they go into like this groovy ass music and the singer's like, man, I'm not used to a place where there's tables in front of where the mosh pit should be. Yeah. So everybody coming closer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we surrounded him and he played. And then he's like, oh, tonight I'm going to teach the fine city of Houston how democracy works. These two people right here and all of you guys. You all can have an opinion, but it doesn't matter. The only opinion that matters is these two. And so, like, one person was like, So they're like, I need a person or a place or a thing. And I screamed out loud, McDonald's. They picked that. It's like, well, this redheaded big tit chick is for the world being a huge ball pit. Balls everywhere. We're all having a fun time. And the guy over here beside me, the old Steve Austin, his motto is all you can eat is chicken and nuggets. That's all you can eat forever. And so here's how we're going to settle it. And he pretty much did rock, paper, scissors, and ball pit one, and that was it. That's democracy.
That's democracy.
And then it was fucking fun, man. And that was part where we all got down to the point where I couldn't even, like, I almost popped my hip. And then we all got up, started moshing and dancing. Oh, dude, it was lit, man.
Scott,
I still got bruises on my kidneys because there was no rail.
It's just
that wooden stage and right on the edge. Yeah, and I played there plenty of times. Halfway through Oakley, people started moshing hard, man. Wow. I got hit. Oh, and some poor innocent soul decided to propose to his girlfriend there during Oakley.
Oh.
She said yes.
Oh.
And then after the show, the drummer gave me the sticks. I was like, oh, thanks, man. Because Scott and I and his little nephew were all into it. He's like, give these to the engaged couples, like, fuck them. I wound up giving it to the fucking couple. I said, the drummer said congrats, and they started crying some more.
The tour will be over before the marriage.
Yeah. Now that's it.
Okay, get out of here.
Ass hurts.
What ass?
That's how you, exactly.
See, ironing board.
Yes. That's why it hurts. My lack of ass.
Cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turn, twat. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turn, twat. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turn, twat. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turn, twat. I fucked your mom.
Is this thing on?